ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarine. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സാവിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാം ച. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ. മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ. നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാപ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ. നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ. നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ. ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ. തരുഭ്യാശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതീതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. നമോ അയ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ. പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തുയം. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയദം സുരദൗമാങ്കോർ മമ മന്ദമദേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനൗ. വൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ శ్రీమంద్రాదాశీల గోవింద దేవో ప్రేష్టాలిభి సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్ రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనిర్గోపేర్ గోపినాథా శ్రీయేస్తు తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. శ్రీభగవానువాచ ఇదం తు వే గుహ్యతమం ప్రవక్ష్యాం మనసూయవే జ్ఞానం విజ్ఞానసహితం యజ్ఞాత్వా మోక్ష్యసే అశుభాద్. ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ సెడ్ మై డియర్ అర్జున, బికాస్ యు ఆర్ నెవర్ ఎన్వియస్ ఆఫ్ మీ, ఐ షల్ ఇంపార్ట్ టు యూ దిస్ మోస్ట్ సీక్రెట్ విజ్డమ్, నోయింగ్ విచ్ యూ షాల్ బి రిలీవ్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది మిసరీస్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ 9th chapter, which we discussed last Sunday, first of all, Krishna mentions about the confidentiality nature of this particular chapter, isn't it? Confidential. Uhyatamam, Krishna says, most confidential knowledge. Pravakshyami, Krishna says, I will reveal that to you, but because you are anasuyave, you are free from envy. We have seen what Krishna was saying, that jnanam vijnana sahitam, this knowledge along with its realization, jnanam and vijnanam, along with the realization, yajnatva mokshase ashubhad, from all inauspiciousness you will get released, Krishna says to Arjuna. So we mentioned last Sunday also that all of us are looking for perfection in life. When we are not seeing the perfection in anywhere, then we keep continue to inquire after that. So it was at that time we also said that as long as we think ourselves to be the body, the mind, it is not possible to have perfection. That is the first recognition necessary. If you look for perfection in the body and the mind, Krishna is saying it is not possible. There is no, it is simply wasting time. Simply wasting time. So how is that possible? Then Krishna mentions there that unless that perfection is in the realization of the self, when the self is realized, there is perfection. Because it is impossible that when you have a gross body and a mind along attached to that gross body, with that the intelligence and the ego all together, it binds the living entity. Our freedom is completely restricted then along with that. You are not at all free, absolutely bound by the body. The interesting thing here is that although I am bound by the body, by the mind, by the intelligence, by the ego, I do not know what goes on within this body. I am not aware of anything. I don't know anything about this body. Just like a tree is standing there outside, similarly this body is also standing. Beyond than that, how much connection do I have with this body? That's a question we have to ask. So many things are going on in this body, I am not aware of anything. For example, the respiratory system is working, digestive system is working, the blood circulation is working, the different kinds of air is moving through the body. But in spite of all that, I am not conscious, or I am not, in my experience, nothing is there. I'm not experiencing the circulation of the blood. I'm not experiencing the breathing. Although it's going out, the whole system is working on its own, but completely independent, I'm existing still. So, just like in the tree, if you look at it, inside that tree, although you see the tree from outside, what goes on inside the tree is unknown to us. All the activities there. What all organic changes that's happening there. Similarly, I keep on saying it's my body, but what is going on inside this body is completely unknown to me. That is the most important thing to realize, that in self-realization, first thing, we have to keep separating out everything what we are not. And the first thing to separate out is this body. And then comes, we have to separate the mind and separate the intelligence and separate the ego. When everything is separated out, what remains there, which you cannot separate it out, but which is a part of you, is that awareness within us, isn't it? That you cannot take it away from yourself. That is always with you. Anubhavam. That is why it is called Anubhavam. Anubhavam, that awareness is the nature of the soul. Body has no awareness. Mind has no awareness. They are all come and go, coming and going. But this awareness remains always. That is the difference between the soul and the other things in the body. Body comes and body will go. Anything that comes has to go. That is the principle. The thing that never leaves us is that what is always with us, which is the awareness. Bodham. It is called Bodham or Bodham or awareness with us. So many things, respiratory system, digestive system, the intelligence, all these things are functioning in this body, but I do not know how they are functioning because I have no connection with them. It functions. Altogether as a package, it works. But how do they function? I have no idea about that. And do I have any control over it? No. I don't have any control over my intelligence or on my breathing system or on the digestive system or on the blood circulation, anything. When something goes wrong, we know that something wrong with the system, then we go to a doctor for so many mechanisms are functioning in this body, and I do not know, and none of them is in my control. None of them is in my control. Similarly, I think that this mind is mine, but what comes into the mind, I have no control over it. Is it not? You think that it's your mind. You keep saying that's my mind, but in this so-called my mind, what comes in, I have no idea. It comes and we don't have any control on everything what comes to the mind. And similarly, when the mind reacts in certain ways, also we don't have any control. So, and if you start inquiring where this mind is, you don't know where it is. Also, that is another difficulty. So, and when you are not very alert, it comes and disturbs you. When you are not alert about it. Suppose sometimes people say in meditation process you can control your mind. Is it not? That's why they have this meditation advertised very much. You come to the and control your mind, they say like that. But as soon as you finish your meditation, and immediately he comes in. And what does he do? And he takes your attention away from everything what you have practiced. Or what you have heard about, everything goes away and something else comes and takes control of yourself totally. And then the mind goes after that, mind takes you to something else. And if you carefully look at it, you can see practically we don't have any control on any of these things. Neither the body, nor the mind, or the intelligence. This is the game the mind is playing. For example, if you come to Satsangam, you sit in the Satsangam. And while sitting in the Satsangam, you may hear this philosophy, Krishna consciousness. And after hearing all that thing, you will feel, yes, yes, what Krishna is saying makes all sense. You will feel all that. But Sangalpam and Vigalpam, the two nature of Sangalpa Vigalpam, mana, that is the definition. So Sangalpam and Vigalpam will come and go. But in spite of that, when you hear Bhagavad Gita, you feel good because you will all make some sense to this life, sense to this existence altogether. So, and you also feel that this is the truth when you hear from Bhagavad Gita. But after you get out from here and you got into the car and start driving, immediately somebody is telling you from inside, Well, at that time I was sitting there, it all made sense to me. But now it all looks very impractical. Immediately that's how it happens to most of the people, isn't it? When you hear Bhagavad Gita, you feel it's all correct. But when you get out and get into the car and you're on your way home, you say, oh, this is all not practical. It's gone. That mind has done its job. That's the way mind operates. You keep on hearing, and when you hear Bhagavad Gita, you feel that it is correct what Krishna is saying. But as soon as you get into the car and you start driving home, immediately something comes and says to you, all this is not practical, you'll say. You'll say like that. So it is a kind of a hypnotizing nature of the mind. Mind has this nature. And nobody else has to hypnotize, because within ourselves, this mechanism of hypnotizing is there inside us. It is an inbuilt thing in us. It's inbuilt in us. That means to accept something now and to reject it after 5 minutes. When you hear Bhagavad Gita, you feel, yes, Krishna is saying the truth, and you accept it. But after 5 minutes, when you come out, the whole thing goes from inside. Just like a hypnotizing effect from inside. This is the game the mind is playing, and it is like an inbuilt system inside us. This is the reason why you have to keep on coming and going to the Satsangam. Because of this reason only. If everything what you heard, if it stays inside and if you accept it, this repetition is not necessary. Repetition is not necessary. Therefore, for this reason only, that you have to keep coming back and again and again and again and keep hearing the Bhagavad Gita again. So, in order to win over this hypnotizing effect of the mind, you require two things. A very powerful knowledge of the Shastram and a powerful force from the spiritual master. These are the two things that will constantly influence you, because the fight is quite strong with this Maya. Maya is coming in the form of mind, isn't it? Mind means Maya. Mind is nothing but Maya, time and space. As they take over, you lose the battle. And therefore, Shastram and Guru, they are the two things. Their responsibility is what is known as Bodhanam. Bodhanam means constantly repeating this till it wins over that mind. Till it wins over the mind. So, as soon as that Bodhanam process, or in other words, the way it has its impact on the person, when it gets strengthened, then this Vikalpa Bodhanam will go away. The Vikalpam that is coming inside will pull back from inside. And we'll start experiencing what is that Purna Vastu, perfection. We'll start knowing what that perfection is. This is the process. You cannot win this by any technique or method. It is not possible. Mind is not going to surrender to all that. Any technique or any other method, the mind is not going to surrender to that. Even if you use some technique and manage to get the mind under control, as soon as the technique is taken out, the mind will go. As soon as the mind will go. And it will again come back to this, what is known as Vikalpam. Vikalpam will come back to that. That is why in the Upanishad, what they say is, Shrodavyaha Mandavyaha Nididhyasidavyaha. It says, Shrodavya means to hear first. And then, silently, you have to perform what is known as contemplation. Or reflection of that. Mandavyaha. And then after that, whatever you have, after reflection, the conclusions what you have come to, that should be able to be kept inside without losing it again. That is known as Nididhyasanam. So, Shrodavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha says in the... So, in other words, you can see here the problem that Arjuna, if it was that simple, Krishna could have given Arjuna a course of like they have the meditation courses, a week course or something for Arjuna. Krishna could have given that course to Arjuna, isn't it? And or other some process than that. But what did Krishna do? Krishna didn't give any course. What Krishna did was, he told Arjuna, you're already perfect inside. If something has to come from outside, it will go. It won't stay. Anything that has to come from outside, it's not going to stay. So the fundamental principle in the Krishna consciousness is that all of us are perfect inside. All what we have to do is that the covering that has come, which is called the mind, that has to be taken out from inside. So, but if you are perfect, Krishna says to Arjuna, you're always perfect. Purnada. Purnatvam is there in everybody. But then why we don't experience that Purnada or perfection? Because that is the most amazing thing. We are all perfect as far as Krishna is concerned. All of us are perfect, but we are not experiencing that perfection. And that is the most amazing experience here. So, in order to solve this problem of imperfection, Krishna is giving us that knowledge, which is the most amazing knowledge also. Amazing problem and an amazing solution. And that is what this chapter is all about. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. Amazing knowledge, Rajavidya. And amazingly confidential, Rajaguhyam. And immediately Krishna is saying to us that we are all perfect. Krishna is saying, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Our identity is eternal, pure, and always conscious, always liberated. That's what we are by nature, by spirit soul. This is the nature of the soul. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, we are like that. But in spite of all that, we are not experiencing anything. That shows the amazing problem what we have got. Isn't it? We know very well we are perfect. Krishna is saying to us, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Nitya Ubalabdham Swarupaham Atma says. Nitya Ubalabdham. Ubalabdham means Bhagavadam throughout it repeats that. Nitya Ubalabdham Swarupaham Atma. Atma is Ubalabdham. Ubalabdham means we have already got it. Perfection is already there. It is not to come from outside anything. It's already there. And that is my Swarupam. Nitya Ubalabdham Swarupaham Atma. Atma Swarupam is like that. Atma is Krishna. Krishna is sitting inside everyone. So this, we are all perfect, Bhagavadam is saying, but we are not feeling that. That is the amazing problem what we have got. And Krishna is saying here, for this problem, an amazing process, knowledge is necessary. Amazing knowledge. And therefore, Krishna calls it as Rajavidya. Therefore, he calls it as Rajavidya. And therefore, in other words, Krishna says, because it is like that, it is Guhyatamam. Guhyatamam, mostly confidential, the most confidential knowledge, in other words, confidential or rahasyam, Krishna says. So, normally, confidential in this sense means what the mind cannot capture, something that the mind cannot capture. That's why it's called confidential. If you can capture it with the mind, it's not confidential. You can apply your mind to this chapter, but you won't capture that. Therefore, Krishna is saying it's confidential. This has to be understood. This chapter is very complicated in the sense that very much based on the freedom from the mind. If your mind and intelligence comes in, this chapter won't go in. If you keep the mind and intelligence away, Krishna is saying here that the whatever that the mind cannot capture, that is what is normally referred to as confidential, isn't it? Just like suppose two people are having a conversation. One said something to the other. The other person couldn't get it. Who didn't get it? The mind didn't get it. So that remains a mystery to him. Isn't it? Confidential then. So Krishna says here, this knowledge, Rajavidya, is also Rajaguhyam. It is, mind will not be able to capture this. You should not try to understand this with the mind. So, it is not that it is difficult that the mind cannot capture it. But many people will say like that, that because it is difficult, that is why the mind cannot capture it. No, that's not the reason. If it is difficult, that can be sorted. That's not a problem. Because there are so many things which are very difficult in science, technology and everything. Isn't it? So many. But if you put some effort into it, if you work hard, and if you try your best and endeavor hard on that, it may come out all right later on. There are things like that. That's how it is in the school and college it is, isn't it? That everything you don't understand when you study the school and college. They tell you a lot of things, but then there are some difficult part of the education which you may require, you may have to put extra effort to know that. Students do that all the time, is it not? They say some part of the curriculum is easy, some part is difficult. And the difficult thing, they have to spend a little more effort and then they will get it. So when they apply more effort into it, they will get it. Eventually, they will get it. So if you take a little bit, put a little bit more effort, you will get it. Initially, it may be difficult, but through effort, it can be sorted. But this vidya, Raja Vidya, is different. Raja Vidya is different. If you think that this Raja Vidya, if you don't get it, and if you put a lot of effort into it, will it become correct? Will it become under your control? No, it won't. It won't. Because that is why Krishna is saying here that there's only one way of knowing this Raja Vidya or Raja Guhya Yogam. That is, Krishna is called this as Raja Vidya because Raja Vidya, what it does is, this Raja Vidya, first thing it does is, it takes away all the distress from within in everyone. People all have mentioned before, all of us are going through a lot of distress in this life. If somebody says that, oh, I don't have any fear, I'm not in distress, it's not possible to accept that. Even any big personality in this world, doesn't matter who it is, suppose the doctor says to him, you got only another 3 or 4 days to live, then you look at his face, the whole thing will change. All his strength and courage and everything, you will see gone completely. No matter who it is. If you, as soon as the death is coming, immediately the fear from inside will manifest on the person. Will manifest in the person. So, the question is, Krishna is saying, how to get out of this distress here? So, the only way Krishna says it's possible is, Krishna is showing to Arjuna his Swarupam, who he is. Instead of telling you are this, you are that, he is showing to him who he is, his Swarupam, in other words. So, because Swarupam is the only thing that is perfect in this whole package. The soul inside, who is Krishna's presence in all of us, that part is the only perfect part in this whole package. Everything else is imperfect. Body is imperfect, mind is imperfect, intelligence is imperfect, ahankara, false ego is imperfect. But Krishna, who is inside as the soul present in everyone, that's the only perfect part within. Perfect part within. So, and that Swarupam is Purnam, is perfect. That is Purnam. That is Purnam. So, by showing this to a person, that person realizing that I am that perfect, perfect source inside, then he gets released from all the distress. He gets released from all the distress. In other words, what Krishna is saying here, by your effort alone, you won't get it. There are so many difficult things in this world, which requires a lot of effort to understand with the mind. But this is not something to be understood by the mind. Mind cannot help you in this. When we realize, if I lose my identity with the body, if I lose my identity with the mind, if I lose my identity with the intelligence and the ego, and if I feel my identity with the self, the soul inside, I have escaped from all the problems. That is the only solution. So, nothing has to come from outside. That is the first thing. So, showing this to us, this showing this to us, whatever Swarupam is, it's called Vedam. Vedam is that. Vedam is not a bunch of books. Or, in other words, Vedam is not a book. Vedam is actually like a mirror. In the sense that spiritual master is also like a mirror. What he does is, just like if I look at the mirror, I see my face. In the same way, when I have Vedam or the spiritual master in front, I see me as I am. I see my real nature, spiritual nature, through that mirror of spiritual master or the Shastram. Shastram, that's what it does. Through Shastram is like a mirror. Through the help of the Shastram, just like you see your body in a mirror, you see your spiritual identity, Swarupam, in the Shastram. You see the Swarupam in the Shastram. So, and when you see your own spiritual identity through the help of the Shastram and the spiritual master, then it is an amazing experience. That is why Krishna calls this as Rajavidya. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, Krishna says, isn't it? So, some time ago, they had one system of photographs. I don't know, I have not seen it for a while, but it used to be there before. That photo has a very funny way, interesting technique in that. What it does is, if you look at the photo, behind the photo, there is a shadow. Behind the photo, there is a shadow. And if you look at the photo, you won't see anything. But if you look at the shadow behind the photos, you will see that there will be an image which covers that full photo from behind, a shadow-like thing. And normally, if you look at the photo, you won't see that shadow behind. There is some technology behind it. I don't know what it's called. But this Brahmavidya is also something similar. Brahmavidya is also something similar. You are looking at the world everywhere, but you can't see the truth in the world, is it not? You are looking at the world and seeing this vast manifestation in front of us, but nothing, you don't know what the truth is behind all these things. You don't see the shadow behind it, is it not? That thing. The Acharyas are saying to us, in the same way, don't look at the world, look at the shadow behind it, which is Brahman. Brahman is that shadow behind it. So, what is that shadow? Shadow is like this. That false ego inside me, actually it is a shadow. False ego inside me is a shadow. It is not a truth. It is not a truth. And if you hold on to that false ego, what is known as ahankriti, ahankaram. Ahankriti, ahankaram, that is the false ego inside me. So, if you give attention to that false ego in us, you will start noticing that it is that false ego which is all actually experiencing all the objects of this world. Connection is between that false ego and the sense objects. False ego and the sense object. So, when you give attention to that shadow, which is that false ego inside there, this world, which is made of names and forms, isn't it? All the objects have got their names and forms. You will notice that, just like if you give attention to the false ego, you will slowly start observing that this name and form, Namarupa Prapancham, it is called the Prapancham, creation is Prapancham, which is full of Namam and Rupam, name and form, that there is a screen behind this Prapancham, this creation, which is perfection, that is Brahman, That's the way the Jnana Margam goes. First of all, to recognize that there is a shadow behind us. That is the ahankaram. That ahankaram, if you ask somebody about false ego, they will say, what does it mean, false ego? People ask always this question. Body they can understand, mind they can understand, intelligence they can understand. But false ego they cannot understand what it means, isn't it? Because it is like a shadow inside us. In us, it's like a shadow. Don't know where it is, don't know what it's doing, but if it's not there, nothing gets done. That's how. In his absence, in the presence of that ahankaram or false ego, everything is happening. It's like a shadow. And that shadow, if you hold on to that, if you make connection with that false ego, you will start seeing that that false ego is not the reality. There is another reality behind that, which is the aham bodham, not the ahankaram. Ahankaram is the false ego. Aham bodham is the awareness. So, through ahankaram, you go to this ahambodham, awareness. You get to that at the end. If you constantly observe this ahankaram, how it works inside, you have to take notice of that. You have to give time for that. Just like any strong emotion comes, immediately you should ask the question, who is experiencing this ഫോൾസ് അഹങ്കാരം ഹൂ ഇസ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് ദിസ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ് ഐ ആം എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് ദ ഡിസ്ട്രെസ് ആൻഡ് സോ ആം ഐ ദെൻ ദാറ്റ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഇഫ് യു ആസ്ക് യു വിൽ സീ that the person who is from inside giving you this experience of this anger or any other emotions, that person disappears and then you are in touch with the ahambodham, awareness inside. So just like ahankaram has got its behind, that is this ahambodham. Ahambodham behind it is. So behind this inquiry, that means when this is jnanamargam, jnanavicharam is like that, atmavicharam or swatmavicharam, you know, different ways they address that. This chapter is all about that. When we say bhakti, we have thought something else about bhakti. You see, bhakti in shastram is in a different way spoken. It is your time and your absorption in the truth. That is bhakti. Swaswarupam anusandhanam bhaktiritya vidhiyate. That is the definition. When you are searching after your swarupam, swaswarupam anusandhanam, you are persuading after, you are pursuing that bhakti ritya vidhiyate. That is the definition of bhakti. Bhakti is to be understood like that. Swaswarupam anusandhanam bhakti ritya vidhiyate. Bhakti is that. So here, when you notice that behind all the experiences of the senses, eyes are seeing, ears are hearing, nose is smelling, the tongue is tasting, the skin is touching, the five senses and the sensual activities. That's the world, isn't it? That's our world. Practically, what does it world mean? This is the world. The five senses busy with the sense objects. So, that person who is experiencing all these things, if you look into that shadow, Ahankaram inside, who is busy with all these things, see, our world is different from somebody else's world. Each one of us, even though with five senses we are perceiving this world, everybody's world is different. Everybody's world is different. Even suppose you don't have, instead of five senses, you had only three senses. Your world is different from the person with the five senses. Like the plants and the trees and everything, their world is different than our world. Is it not? Their world is different than our world. The world is not same for everybody. That also you have to know. So the world is different according based on the senses what we have, because senses are the one which gives us an experience of the world. If the senses were not there, the world doesn't exist, is it not? So world means the sensual senses, contact with the sense objects, in other words. So so when we start seeing, once you start giving attention to this false ego, attention to the false ego, that me who is experiencing all these sense objects, when I start giving attention to that, I'll notice that behind this, whole world in the same way, Namarupa Prapancham. Namarupa Prapancham means this creation which is full of names and different forms, and there is one Purna Vastu behind this creation. Purna Vastu, a completeness, a wholeness, or in other words, which is not corruptible, which is pure and uncorruptible, pure wholeness, Vastu is behind this creation as well. Just like when we experience this world through the false ego. False ego, through the senses, it's contacting with the sense objects. In that process, ragadvesham, different emotions comes out, experiences inside us, is it not? So these experiences, what we have from this world through senses and sense objects, it is interacting with the world. And but we know when you start catching on to that ahankriti or ahankaram, we realize that I have nothing to do with it. It was a false ego that was experiencing everything. And in that way, it leads you to ahambodham, to the awareness. Sandranandavabhodalmakam. Sandram anandam avabhodham. In the Bhagavatam you will see, Krishna has given a very special name in few places. What is that? Kevalanubhavananda swarupam. That is how Krishna is addressed. Vasudeva says that. And then there are two other places also. I think Akrura or Muchukunda. One of them says this. Calls Krishna കേവലാനുഭവ കേവല അനുഭവ ആനന്ദ സ്വരൂപം. കേവലാനുഭവാനന്ദ സ്വരൂപം. വാട്ട് ഡസ് ദാറ്റ് മീൻ? കേവലം, കേവലം മീൻസ് ഓൺലി ദാറ്റ്സ് പ്യുവർ അനുഭവം, എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ്. എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഇസ് എ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ. ഇസ് എ സംതിങ് ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് ഓൾ ദ ടൈം. അനുഭവം, അനുഭവം ഇസ് ഓൺലി ഇൻ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് ദ സോൾ, നോട്ട് വിത്ത് ദ ബോഡി, നോട്ട് വിത്ത് ദി മൈൻഡ്, നോട്ട് വിത്ത് ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ്. അനുഭവം ഈസ് ഓൺലി ഫോർ ദി ഈസ് ഓൺലി എ ക്വാളിഫിക്കേഷൻ ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ. അനുഭവം, അനുഭവം മീൻസ് ദ എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ലെവൽ. സോ ദെയർഫോർ കേവലം കേവലാനുഭവാനന്ദം, കേവല അനുഭവ ആനന്ദ സ്വരൂപം. That is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. You will see in many, many places in the Bhagavatam this word used referring to Krishna. Kevalam Anubhavam Ananda Swarupam. That's the word they have used. Krishna Swarupam is Anubhavam. Anubhavam, Krishna is to be experienced. Ananda Swarupam. Anandam is Krishna's nature. So here also, through the false ego, that shadow, you come to the stay understanding and awareness. You come to awareness through the false ego. You come to awareness. When every time when we have any strong emotions comes or thought waves comes to us, if you ask this question, who is experiencing this happiness or distress or any further thought wave? I am experiencing that, and who am I? That question will come followed by that. And that question will end up in this answer, that behind this experience of this ahankriti or ahankaram, there is ahambodham. Because ahambodham is there, ahankaram is there. If ahambodham was not there, ahankaram cannot exist. Because in the presence of ahambodham only, ahankaram is there. If therefore ahambodham, awareness of my own identity, that is me. That is Swarupam. That Ahambodham is the Swarupam actually. So that which cannot be affected by anything, which cannot be affected by anything, that doesn't have, that awareness does not have any Namarupam. That Bodham, Avabodham inside doesn't have any Namarupam, or name and form doesn't exist there. Name and form is finished with the gross body, mind, intelligence. After that, there is no name and form. What is the name and form for the soul? How would you address the name and form for the soul? Has no name and form, isn't it? So that is the stage. You can see here that behind all these things, what's happening? The gross body, the mind, the intelligence, the ahankaram. Behind all that, there is something who is completely unaffected, but who is perfect. Perfection is there in that source, and who is behind everything, and once you go towards him, he will come from inside and reveal himself to you. And what is present there, that is our Swarupam. That is our Swarupam. And when that happens, when we see that perfection inside us, later on, you will see everything what you see in this world is also the same perfection. Same what we talked before. When first you realize the self, yourself what you are. After you have realized your own self, everything else in this creation also you will see it is of the same substance what is inside. So then you may start thinking that how did I miss all these things at that time? Therefore it says that is the reason self-realized souls, for them, it is difficult to give instructions to others about self-realization. Once they have realized the truth, it is difficult for them. They cannot actually instruct others on self-realization. Why? Because they are seeing everybody as in the realized state. They are not seeing them anymore in the body. They are only seeing in them the spiritual nature, their spiritual nature. Just like they themselves are realized as soul, spiritual nature, they are seeing the same spiritual nature in others as well. In others as well. That is the, so therefore, first fully realized souls, liberated souls in this world, they will not be able to say to anybody, I am a guru, you are a disciple. They cannot say that anymore to anyone. Because they themselves have realized the truth, And in that process of realization, they are seeing elsewhere the same realization in them. Seeing everyone else as not anymore in the bodily identity. Purely on the spiritual level. So, normally, this is why you may have heard this, that there are three levels of spiritual masters. Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. You will see mentioned many times. Uttama Adhikari cannot be, Uttama Adhikari means the highly qualified person. He cannot be a spiritual master. If he has to be, he has to become a Madhyama Adhikari. In order to give, only then he can see, I am a guru, he is a disciple in that way. Uttama Adhikari state, it is not possible. It's not possible. In the same way, jnanis also, in the realized state, it is difficult for them to look at someone and say that he is my disciple or I have to give something to him. As far as jnani is concerned, what he is seeing there is a fully perfect person inside, the soul inside. Not seeing his body anymore, not seeing his mind anymore, or the intelligence or the ego. It's only on the platform of ego, all these guru-disciple things, all these things goes on in this world. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, that is therefore, for realized soul, they cannot be missionaries. They cannot be preachers. They can't do that. Because they have gone beyond this state. So, they cannot execute any missionary activity who are in the realized state. It is not possible. If you are in the realized state, you will stop all missionary activities. When you are fully realized, you won't be doing any missionary work. Missionary work is before realization, all this. So, that you can see in Krishna's case also, Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you have reached that state, then you have nothing to do. You have nothing to do because you reached the state of perfection. Once you have reached the state of perfection, there is nothing to do after that. That's the beauty of it. If you look into the third chapter, Krishna says, Name parthasti kartavyam trishilokeshu kinchana. There's a verse there. Third chapter, 22nd. That's the verse, isn't it? O son of Partha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in work. People read this verse and they start thinking, oh, it's all right. Krishna is the boss. He doesn't need to do anything. We all have to work and Krishna is the boss. He enjoys. Sits there. That's how many people have thought about this verse. But when you see the real meaning behind that, when Krishna is saying here, because Krishna's activities, you have to look at Krishna from the realized state. Krishna is the totally realized person all the time, isn't it? All his activities are on the realized platform. So that is why Krishna is saying, I have nothing to do. Because I am realized. Name parthasu kartavyam. Parthasti kartavyam trishilokeshu kinchana. In all the three, in the realized state, you have nothing to do. Because when you see the spirit, the soul present in everything, no more the body. That is why, remember when Mahabharata war happened, Krishna didn't cry when so many people died. Who was crying? Who has got the false ego? They were crying. One who has no false ego, he doesn't cry. Crying is for those who have got false ego. So false ego, that is crying. And the false ego, that's feeling happy also. It is an emotion that is experienced by the false ego inside. Because Krishna has no such thing inside, he is purely on the transcendental state. Therefore, it did not bother, affect him at all. That is only the reason why he was able to walk away from Vrindavanam without any difficulty, from the middle of all the gopis. He walked away. Gopis were crying and feeling a lot of difficulty in separation from Krishna. It's for the same reason that he had no problem in killing Kamsa. Because Krishna is not killing like the way we kill. We are, while killing, we have so much ragadvesham inside. అండ్ వీఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ ట్రైన్ టు సాటిస్ఫై అవర్ రాగం అండ్ ద్వేషం. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ నాట్ కిల్లింగ్ ఎనీ వన్ టు సాటిస్ఫై హిస్ రాగద్వేషం. దెర్ ఈస్ నో రాగం నోర్ ద్వేషం టువర్డ్స్ కంస ఫర్ కృష్ణ. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ కన్సర్న్డ్. సో బిగ్ డిఫరెన్స్ వెన్ ఏ జీవన్ముక్త ఆర్ రియలైజ్డ్ పర్సనాలిటీ యాక్ట్స్, స్పిరిచువలీ రియలైజ్డ్ సోల్ యాక్ట్స్ అండ్ ఎ కండిషన్ మెటీరియల్ పర్సన్ యాక్ట్స్ ఈస్ బిగ్ డిఫరెన్స్ దేర్. సో ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ ఆల్సో యూ కెన్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ నమే పార్థాస్తి కర్తవ్యం త్రిషి లోకేషు కించన. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ మై స్టేట్ ఐ హ్యావ్ నథింగ్, నో రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ హియర్, నథింగ్ టు డూ, బికాస్ హీ డస్ నాట్ ఐడెంటిఫై విత్ ది మ్యాటర్ ఎనీమోర్. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ నెవర్ ఐడెంటిఫైస్ విత్ ది మ్యాటర్. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ఆల్వేస్ సోల్ స్పిరిట్. దాట్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్. నాన్ అవాప్తం అవాప్తవ్యం వర్త ఏవచ కర్మని. ఇన్ దాట్ స్టేట్ ఓన్లీ దెర్ విల్ బి నో డిజైర్స్, నో వాంట్స్. Doesn't need to have anything, doesn't need to do anything, doesn't need anything, and nor I need to obtain anything. All those things goes away from a realized person. Realized person doesn't need anything after that, isn't it? So that is why Krishna is saying that words. But when you read normally, what will you say? You say, oh, Krishna, for Krishna it's okay, he can do all that, I can't do anything. We'll misunderstand everything. Krishna's personality, when you understand, you have to see that spirituality in Krishna. Otherwise, it is no point. Look, simply thinking of Krishna. Krishna's got a body much beautiful than my body. Or if you start thinking like that, it makes no sense. The only way you can relate with Krishna is through the spiritual platform. The spiritual way of seeing Krishna's form. The Krishna is like this, that Krishna's presence in everything. Because it is always in a spiritual state of consciousness that all these hankering, lamentation, attachment, aversion, none of them exist in that personality, in Krishna's personality. None of them exist. Ragadvesham doesn't exist. Attachment, aversion doesn't exist, isn't it? So because it's not there, whatever Krishna does is purely on the absolute platform. That's what absolute means. Absolute means. Name parthasti kartavyam trishi lokeshu kinchana. Krishna says there. It is only for this reason. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, everybody is perfect here. We are perfect. Krishna is saying we are all perfect. And therefore, there is nothing imperfect here as far as Krishna is concerned. And when fully realized souls like Krishna, when they see us also, they don't see any imperfections in us. They don't see any imperfections in us. They are not saying, oh, normally what do we do in this world? If somebody comes to you with their distress, you will, in order to pacify that person, you will show your compassion for that person, isn't it? Say somebody died at home, you will say condolences. Or something like that, you will express your feelings towards them. You won't expect that from a realized soul. Realized soul don't expect that. No condolences will come from him. Condolences is all for us, for those who are identifying with the body. They don't identify with the body anymore. So what are they condoling about? What for these condolences? Same thing when any distress comes in life. Normally people will show some... and if you don't show anything, they will say, oh, such a stone-hearted person, he has no mercy, he's so cruel, this, that and the other. But that is all right, you can say that, but if you have to see liberated people, they will be like this. They won't be interested in your bodily problems, and because as what they are seeing in you is not that body anymore. It's seeing that inside that, what is that satpurnada, inside perfection, avbhodam, awareness, that's what they are seeing there. So, in the absolute level, in everything what you see is that perfection. When you see in that, you will also notice that that perfection is within you also. When you are seeing that perfection outside in everybody, at the same time you can see that that perfection is within you also. Within you also. And once that perfection comes inside, that drishti, that vision is what Krishna is talking about here in this chapter. So, Is there another knowledge like this in this world? What Krishna is going to talk about now? Such a knowledge doesn't exist. A knowledge that makes you feel perfection in everything, simultaneously perfection within you, that is this knowledge called Rajavidya. Rajavidya Krishna. So, after that, you don't require any meditation. You don't require any meditation. Even if you keep your eyes wide open, and just like they have for pranayama, they have to control their breath, holding the nose, and puragam, kumbhagam, rechagam, the different processes in the pranayama. Or you have to take the beads and chant the holy name. All these things will come to an end at that time. Because when you have realized that perfection, purnada, purnatvam, perfection in everywhere, and you will notice that that same perfection is within me as well. It is the same perfection within me. And that is my surupam. That is my spiritual identity. And when I start seeing it like that, at that point, our inquiry, spiritual inquiry, will come to a dead stop. It's finished there. It is finished there. A full stop for everything. And then you will also notice that it is, there is no more any imperfections in me. There is nothing more to happen. As I mentioned in Sunday, that everybody is inquiring after something. Why? Because we are feeling imperfect inside. That is why we are inquiring and inquiring and inquiring again and again, isn't it? Going to different sources, inquiring from different people, studying different shastram, everything. Why? Because of the imperfection we are feeling inside. Imperfection. So this inquiry has to come to a stop at some point. At some point it has to come to a stop. And Krishna is saying, this Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, that's confidential Rajavidya, once it reaches, once you come to that state, the perfection has come and there will be, inquiries will come to a full stop. There will be no more inquiries after that. It is a very amazing experience, that is. Jivan Mukta state. Jivan Mukti means that perfection has come in a person. Perfection has come in a person. So, but when that happens, still body will have its own problems. That you cannot live it. Avoid it. Even though perfection has come inside, the body will have its own imperfections. You can see this, even the great personalities, great souls. Internally, they have realized the truth. Inside, they have realized the truth. But body will be having its own problems still. Body won't go away. So, but therefore, in the bodily level, or on a mental level, or an intellectual level, there may be imperfections. But inside, in the heart, perfection. Inside, there is perfection. There is perfection inside. So that is, that state is called Nityatvam. Nityatvam, it is called, Nityatvam means eternity. Eternity comes there. So even now, all of us are in that state. Eternity is there. And but because of the identification with the body and the mind, we are not experiencing that eternal nature within us. And so when this situation comes, that there is nothing more to be known after this, that what is known as Shandi. Shandi. Krishna is very particular about this word Shandi. You have noticed this in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavatam also. Tataparam Shanti Mupaidi Sakshal. People have misunderstood this one point. They don't know that Shandi is the nature of the soul. Shandi is the nature of the soul. Not all the excitement you feel. That's not the nature of the soul. Shandi is the nature of the soul. Shandi is the perfection. State is Shandi. That's why in all Upanishads you will see at the end, Om Shandi Shandi Shandihi. Shandi Mandram it's called. Shandi Shandi Shandihi. Shandi is the very nature of the soul, of the nature of the soul. And that Shandi is also the same what is known as Brahmajnanam, Brahmavidya, in other words. How will that happen? at the moment we have this thing called personality. At the moment what we have is this personality. Personality is that false ego in us. Personality is the false ego in us. And when this personality or the false ego disappears, just like in the sea, the waves comes out and the waves goes back into the sea again. Similarly, from that pure consciousness, which is Avabodham, from there these waves have come in the form of false egos. So many false egos have come from that ocean of Avabodham or the Bodham, Bodha Avastha, in other words, Avabodham. From there, all these false egos have come. When the false ego goes back and merges with that Avabodham, at that time, you can see that that perfection is within each one of us. Within each one of us. That is the Krishna is going to talk about it. At the moment, that Avabodham is inside us. But what we are identifying with is Ahankaram. Is with Ahankaram. Therefore, we do not know that Avabodham inside. You can see this. It is not very difficult. That how do you know that aham bodham is inside us? How do we know that? Ahankaram, we know all well that it is there. All of us have that, isn't it? Ahankaram inside. Ahankaram is what is making us to do different things, to act in this world, to respond to people when they say something, or different situations, how we are able to interact with that is due to Ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one that is constantly dealing with the world. Behind that, Krishna said that Aham Bodham is there. But presence of Ahankaram is known to us at the moment. Aham Bodham we are not experiencing at the moment. Krishna is saying here, look into your Sushupti state. What is happening there? Study this Sushupti state very well. Krishna says, in Sushupti, even though you may have a lot of imperfections in you, at the same time, please try to understand this very carefully, because it is a very interesting phenomenon what's happening in the deep sleep state. What is the most amazing thing in the deep sleep? What is the most amazing thing in the deep sleep? Normally, we identify sleep with what? People look at sleep as though it's a very dirty thing to sleep. You must have seen that. People have a tendency like that to condemn somebody who is sleeping peacefully. We'll say, why are you sleeping like this? We'll say, wake him up because you are sleeping too much. So forcefully we wake him up or pour some water on his head to get him up from there. Because he is in ignorance, we say. Don't study sleep like that. That is the ignorant man studying sleep. The ignorant person deals with the sleep in that way. When somebody is sleeping, we go and wake him up saying that, Prabhu, you are in ignorance, wake up. And wake him up like that. That's the ignorant way of dealing with it. What Krishna is saying to us, because Krishna has spoken about this to the gopis, to Uddhava, to Akrura, to Mujugunda and so many others. So we have to take this seriously. Krishna is saying to him, don't look at the laziness side of it or avidya side of that sleep or ignorant side of that sleep. You have to see this in a completely different way. When you take the gold out of the ground from the mines, gold mines, if you have seen the gold ore, you will see it's not gold, it's full of filth in there. All the other metals are mixed with so many other things, the earth, everything. And they say there is gold in there. If you have seen the gold mine, you will notice this. When the ore comes out from the gold, there's very little gold you get from there, from a huge quantity of ore, golden ore, isn't it? So from that golden ore, from there, when you see the first time that gold ore, you will see that, is this a gold coming from this? But after all the purifications, when they get the pure gold out of that, and when you start realizing that the gold was mixed with so many other things in that form. So similarly, this deep sleep state, what we experience sometimes when we have that, so that state, Krishna is saying here, in that state, you cannot say somebody has a higher knowledge than somebody else. Knowledge is not a criteria in that deep sleep state, isn't it? And normally in the world, people will say, oh, someone has a higher understanding than another person. You could always say like that. But in the deep sleep state, you cannot say that everyone is in this level. Everybody is level to one state, is it not? It's the biggest, highest leveler. It levels everyone into one state, isn't it? Everybody is equal in that deep sleep state. So, deep sleep is that state which makes everyone, brings everyone into one platform. Nobody's higher there, nobody's lower there in that state, isn't it? So, suppose, imagine that you don't know that state, this deep sleep state. You don't know about that. And suppose you have slept for 1,000 years in this world. And even if you have slept 1,000 years, if you have not analyzed that deep sleep state properly, instead of analyzing that deep sleep state properly, you are not going to get realized. That, in other words, what means is that just because you have slept deeply doesn't mean you are going to realize the self. That's the most important thing. Self-realization, we are talking about deep sleep now, but if you look at deep sleep in that way, not analyzing it properly, what is happening there, but on the other hand, just looking at it as a state of ignorance and leave it like that, then you won't get anything from that. What Krishna is saying to us is, if you analyze the deep sleep state properly, what will happen, Krishna says here, that if you don't turn your attention towards that, you won't get the benefit of that deep sleep. Deep sleep has a lot to teach us. Lot to teach us. As I mentioned before, few Upanishads are based on deep sleep state. The sages, they have studied deep sleep to such levels that they had to write all these things and leave it to the world. Then look at this way, your life in this world. Otherwise, why this deep sleep state? We could be stay awake whole time, isn't it? What is happening in that deep sleep state? Because it's only holding on to this deep sleep, you are able to come to some very mature conclusions in spiritual life. Conclusions in spiritual life. They give the example normally, a beggar was sitting on a box. He was blind as well. People were passing through. They were putting some coins in front of him. And whatever has come, he'll put it inside the... Because he was not looking at the box inside. He kept on putting the coins inside the box. Years and years have passed. The box was full. There was so much money inside. There was no necessity for him to beg anymore. Because he has so much money there. But he doesn't know. He's asking, because he kept on asking whole life. He kept asking again from the people who are passing through. So one day somebody went up to him and told him that, look, the box where you are sitting itself, that box has got enough money there. Why do you have to beg anymore for the reason for that? He doesn't know that. He doesn't know about that. So whether he sits there for 40 years or 40,000 years, and he will still keep asking for money. What difference is going to make? So till the point he opens it up and start looking what is there in that deep sleep, what is in the box. Till that time, he will remain as a beggar. He'll remain as a beggar because that's what he is used to. He never learned to break open the box and look inside. So similarly, people also in their heads, they have filled with so many other knowledge about it. So you can see this also in many people's head, this law of gravitation didn't happen. You see, people didn't think about the law of gravitation, but Newton thought about this. Why the apple is falling? He asked that question. So from there, so why only Newton got that thought? Because similarly, so many thoughts are coming to us also. But everyone, coconut or mango or whatever it is, it's coming to our head. But we don't think about it very much. Only one person thought about that. In his intelligence, he came to his thoughts. Why apple is falling, isn't it? Similarly, everybody is sleeping in this world. Just by sleeping alone, you won't become a jnani. Just because you have slept a lot, it won't become a jnani. What happens is, and in deep sleep, you don't need the knowledge either. In the deep sleep state, you don't need the knowledge either. You see, knowledge is not necessary in the deep sleep state. You don't need it. And in the deep sleep state, what's happening is, there is no knowledge, there is no ignorance, and there is no distress either. None of them, isn't it? Knowledge is not there, ignorance is not there, and the distress is also not there. So, this one subject you have to hear without any prejudice. Remember, Krishna mentioned about that prejudice word. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying there, anasuyave. You may have your own convictions about sleep. We all have our own attachment to sleep and our own, thoughts about sleep. Somebody will say, I need so many hours of sleep for my body. Otherwise, I can't function. Somebody else will see, oh, this sleep is a waste of time. Somebody will say like that. It's a complete waste of time. Somebody else will say, the sleep is the best thing in the world. Let me sleep as much as I can. So you can see, everyone is seeing the sleep in a different way. Somebody who is very attached to sleeping, who likes that sleeping for long, long hours, he will sleep as long as he wants. Somebody else who had that sleeping is not a good thing, he doesn't want to sleep. He wants to always active, wants to be active. He considers sleep is a waste of time. So one considers sleep as a waste of time. Another one considers sleep as a real enjoyment, happiness for him. A third person, he thinks that he requires a certain amount of sleep to function in this world. There are also different levels people take up sleep. People take up sleep, isn't it? So, samadhi state, or dhyanam, meditation state, those states, people don't have any experience of that. We don't have any experience of samadhi. We don't have any experience of dhyanam or meditation. So therefore, it is difficult to discuss that state. But deep sleep state, it is possible to discuss because everybody has deep sleep. Is it not? We all have sometimes a deep sleep state. We all have it. So, therefore, you will see here one thing interesting. Upanishads also have never spoken about samadhi or about dhyanam. Samadhi and dhyanam, two words Upanishads never spoke about. What they have said was, samadhi, the word you will never find in the Upanishads, and almost all the main Upanishads, which means Katha Upanishad, Keno Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, in all these Upanishads, they are only talking about a yoga state where normally that samadhi means what? Samadhi, when we say, means intelligence, samam means equal. That is samadhi. Dhi becomes samam, equal. That is samadhi state. And it is the same samadhi state that's happening in the deep sleep state. What's happening? Everybody becomes equal there. Is it not? That becoming equal, everybody is equal in the deep sleep state. Is it not? Every one of us. We are not man, woman. We are not Indian, American. We are not any based on any color of the body or any identity. All identities goes away and we all become equal in that state. Which one? Deep sleep state. That's why the samadhi state, the means our ma, intelligence, when it becomes samam, equal, that is that samadhi state experience is the same experience what we have in the deep sleep also. It's in the deep sleep also. So here, sometimes in the yoga state, they will say, you will see in the photos, the yogis with their eyes looking up or pointing towards the tip of the nose, So in meditation states, they'll show all this. That can happen. But perfection is possible, that what is present all the time, and which will always remain with you. In the Upanishads, what they are saying to us is, perfectional stage is that thing, that truth, which always remains with you. It should always remain two things. One thing, it has to always remain. Second thing, it has to always remain with you. That is the perfection. That is the same what we say, anubhavam, experience of the awareness, isn't it? Awareness is the only one thing that is always there and that's always staying with us. Body won't stay with us. Body will go. Because it has come, it will go. Mind won't stay with us. Because it has come, it has to go. Intelligence won't stay with you. It has come, it will go. Is it not? In fact, practically before leaving this body, most of these things will go first. Body will go, mind will go, intelligence will go. But awareness still doesn't go. Awareness still doesn't go. So therefore, satyam or the truth is that thing which is always remaining with you. And if it has to happen, it has to be here right now. It should be there now also. It should be there now also as well. If that thing which does not leave you at any time, that means it's there even now with each one of us. So, and because we are not aware of this existence, of awareness, of our own existence, therefore we are struggling. We are struggling here. You can see this. Once this identification with ourselves happens, this struggle and this distress leaves us straight away. It cannot go with us anymore. Because that awareness is not there of our own existence, and identification is with the body and the mind, therefore all the distresses come from that. All the distresses come from that. And this Rajavidya Yogam, Rajaguhyam Yogam chapter is trying to point out to us that aspect of our existence rather than the based on the body, mind or the intelligence. Today, our existence is based on the body, mind, intelligence, ego. From there, a complete shift towards the existence in the form of awareness, which brings everyone into the same level like in the deep sleep. It is that state what Krishna is going to talk about in the many verses from now on. And therefore Krishna calls it as Guhyatamam. That is how that word Guhyatamam has come. Guhyatamam. These verses require a lot of introspection because they have come from Upanishads directly. Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and sent a message to Arjuna directly in this way. So, Rahasyam, Krishna says there, Rahasyam. Greatest secret, Krishna says. Greatest secret. Everybody reads this chapter and they say, what's so secret about it? The secret problem is this, that we are not getting what Krishna is talking about. Isn't it? Oh, yeah, Krishna is saying a secret, so it must be some secret. When Krishna gives it to you, you will get to know the secret that one day is going to send us in a brown envelope. This is the secret I give it to you. As to that's what we think about it, isn't it? So, Guhya means Guha. Guha means the cave inside. Who is present inside and who is hiding in everybody. What is that hiding there? Hiding that awareness is hiding there. Somehow or the other, we are not aware of our own awareness, isn't it? Bodham is not there. Avatham is not there. So, that's why there is a statement, Upanishad puts it like this. Grihastan, grihastam payasam tektva bhiksha mamhadi durmatihi. A householder, he has got very good facilities at home for prasadam. Grihastha, he's got everything at home, wife is cooking nicely, big feast, and he can have it at home. That grihastha, what he is doing? He says, grihastam payasam tektva. Payasam is there for the prasadam. Payasam is the sweet rice or whatever you want to take it. So that payasam is there, and payasam means that it's a feast. It means a feast. And payasam tetva, he does not want it, and then he is going outside and begging for food. Durmatihi, Upanishad says, So Durmati, there's no brain at all. So there is a feast at home, but you are not taking notice of it. You are going outside and begging. Similarly, Krishna says here, when you go into deep sleep, give attention to it. What's happening there? Ask this question. You see, our spiritual life is very much centered around the world, isn't it? For us, we can't wait to get up from the bed, run to the bathroom, bathe, put the tilak on, shikha on, and put the dhoti on and run to the temple or what. No. As soon as you wake up, Krishna is saying to us, think what has happened in that deep sleep state. So, you have to hear this as though you have not heard this before. Only then it will... Because we are prejudiced. We have certain misconceptions about sleep. No matter how much Upanishads glorify about deep sleep, you will still think, oh, what is deep sleep after all? Because in your own inside, you have already got this prejudice against the sleep, deep sleep. And therefore, even though Krishna has spoken so much about it in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you won't take it seriously. You will listen to somebody else. You will say, I'll go here, running here and there and do so many things and I'll make progress in spiritual life. Krishna says, no. Right now, when you wake up from the sleep, think about this. What was happening at that time in that deep sleep state? So therefore, you have to hear this as though you have not heard this before. All of us are, Krishna is saying, all of us has got that knowledge of the self inside. Awareness is inside. And when you have come to understand this deep sleep state properly, you will get released from this body. You will get released from this body. What's actually happening in the deep sleep state? What's happening there? And it is such an amazing thing that what happens in the deep sleep state. People will ask this question, deep sleep, what's there so much to discuss about it? That's their answer to that. Because in that state, most interesting thing is, it is only in the deep sleep state that this one thing what is disturbing you in the wakened state and the dream state doesn't come. What is that? In the wakened state, you always have plan. I want to become a devotee. I want to become a pure devotee. I want to become a guru. Or I want to become a GBC. Or this or that. So to become. This is in our mind all the time. Is it not? Who is free from this? We all have always this desire inside. Well, one day I must become that. One day I should become that. Some imperfection in us is telling us that I have to become something to become perfect. Is it not? That is there in everyone in a very subtle level. It's operating. It's operating in everybody. That thing won't go away easily from inside. It's always there in all of us. One day I will become like this. To become something, it's called a disease. It's called bhavam. Bhavam means that. That disease is not there in the deep sleep state. That's the only time when you don't want to become anything. Is it not? That goes away from inside. At least for that period of time in the deep sleep state. I don't want to become anything in deep sleep because there is no such thing of becoming anything. That sushupti state is free from that problem. You can see here in the vacant state, take for example in the vacant state, Jagrat. Jagrat state, what is happening? I have to become something. First, initially it is material things. I have to make a lot of money. First thing. And then next thing I should have some a good massage on my body or some good Ayurvedic treatment or sauna or jacuzzi or whatever. That is to keep the body fit, to give some pleasure for the body, is it not? So first you want to have wealth, money, and I don't want to become more money, desire for accumulating wealth. These are all on material level. Then happiness for the body, to make sure that the body has all the happiness to enjoy all the wealth you have created. That happens after that. Then, once it goes beyond than that, when these things are met with, then you want a big name in this world. Fame. Fame and name and fame in this world. Everybody should recognize me. This desire will come. So, always there is something, if you observe people, you will see, all these things do exist in people. And to become something, I should become famous, I should have a lot of followers, I should have a lot of wealth, I should have this, I should have that. So always inside in a subtle level, it's operating in everybody. Nobody is exception to that. It's happening in everyone. It may be different in different people, but that depends on the person. But that to become something, to get something, to become something is operating in everyone. We may not recognize it, but it is there. Someday it will happen. We think like that. Nothing is happening like that. So, but in this way, life will go on. And the mind will go after all these things. One thing or the other. So, when you come to spiritual life also, the same thing happens. In spiritual life also, same thing happens. That's what the perfect example of that, what we see nowadays. Is it not? That desire has not gone away from inside. So then they want disciples. Then they want build big ashrams. And then they need to build to have that lot of money is required. So what does it all show? It shows that even after coming to spiritual life, that the same to become something, that disease has not left. That disease has not left. And therefore, they have all these different concepts that I have to build big ashrams, big followers, all these kind of things are coming from that. It will keep on going like this. It's endless, that is. But after seeing all these things, if you look at it this way, has perfectionist come to that person? Perfection hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened. Why? Because temporarily something happens in life, you will feel some happiness. But after a while, you can see there, again, you will start searching for something else. After some time, you start searching for something. Even with great people, if you observe that, you will see the same thing happening. They will achieve something. And then on a material level, you can see that, take for example, the American presidents, when they become president, they wanted to become president first. After they become president, they are allowed only 2 terms or something. Because that is supposed to be the most highest executive position in this world. So 2 terms they are allowed, and they had done that. They can't become anymore. Still, they are not satisfied. Then they make their own foundation after that to save the world. You can see all the ex-American presidents, even prime ministers here, they all start their own foundation then. They think that they have not saved the world enough. Now they have to save the world a lot more. This is coming from where? Why that satisfaction is not coming? Okay, you had to become American. You became American president. But still, the satisfaction has not come inside. And that is why after that job is over, they look create another job in the form of a foundation. And then they have to raise the funds because using the position what they had, they could raise funds and then they start their philanthropic activities after this. So to become something never leaves a person. It will continue throughout life. Whether you go into material life or in the spiritual life, this disease is always there. I have to become something tomorrow. So, but what happened in the deep sleep state? In the deep sleep state, until you get it, you will keep on searching in this world. Everybody search in different levels. A big person search in a big way. A small person search in a smaller level. But in the deep sleep state, what has happened? In the deep sleep state, what did we do? We threw away everything. Exactly opposite. Exactly opposite is what we do in the deep sleep state. In the vacant state, to fulfill, to become perfect, we are searching and we are working towards that and doing so many things, thinking that we'll become perfect, we'll become perfect, we'll become perfect. To become perfect, we keep on doing various things and we get more things and on top of the other and never seems to come to an end. Till the last minute, it goes like this in the vacant state. On the other hand, if you look into the deep sleep state, what did we do? We threw away the body first, with all our assets, first of all, we threw away. Whatever we had, we threw it away. Then we threw away the body, then eventually the mind even. And then we went to and looked for perfection. We found it there in the deep sleep state. That's where we felt the greatest happiness, in that deep sleep state. Because it is then that you realized 2 things happens there. First thing, you yourself realize that by carrying all these things, perfection was not happening. With the things, perfection was not happening. That's one. Secondly, you were looking for a equal vision in every living entity, isn't it? To see everyone on an equal level, which also you could not do in the vacant state, but you were able to experience that in the deep sleep state. These two important things is only possible in the deep sleep state. Sushupti's speciality, Krishna is talking about. In Sushupti state, what happens? First thing, that by acquiring something and collecting things in this world and working for certain things, you are trying to become perfect. And throughout life you didn't become perfect. Because at the end, still you are thinking, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Some imperfection was experienced. But as soon as you go into deep sleep state, you threw away everything, including the body, mind and everything, and you felt satisfaction. No more desire coming to you to become perfect again. Number one. Number two, while living in the vacant state, when you see every living entity different, unable, which created ragam dvesham in a person, when you went into the deep sleep state, you noticed that there is no ragam, there is no dvesham towards anyone. On the other hand, that happiness of the deep sleep state has taken over. So, comparing this vacant state and the deep sleep state, you can see Krishna is saying to us that that knowledge in the deep sleep, what is that knowledge that kept you so happy in the deep sleep state? Krishna is asking us to think about that. This whole Rajavidya Rajaguhyam chapter is centered around this particular subject. It is such a dominating thing in life that Krishna is opening up our understanding of life, and he says to us that even during the another experience is this. Suppose you say to somebody that I had a good sleep, I had a very comfortable and good sleep. Some people will oppose that. They will say to you, oh, what is the happiness in that deep sleep so much? They will ask this question. People will ask like that. Only thing was, they'll say, I didn't know anything, that's all. Nothing more than that. They'll say like this. So, but you have to remember, suppose you have kept your alarm to wake up at 4 o'clock. To wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you kept your alarm and you went to deep sleep. And somehow or the other, you woke up at 2 o'clock. So you heard some sound or some noise or burglar or something came, visited you at 2 o'clock and you woke up. And then you heard that there is no noise, nothing, that disappeared. What will you do? Will you wake up and say, I've woken up now, I'm not going to go to sleep? No, you will look at the clock and you'll see still there's a couple of hours, let me sleep. Who makes that choice? From inside, somebody is making that choice to go to sleep rather than waking up. That is that experience of the soul inside. These things, you can't deny this. These are the reality of this. So, therefore, when he makes that decision that another couple of hours I can sleep, and as soon as you wake up, what happens first thing? Ahamkriti. Ahangaram first wakes up. I am now up. I am comes up, and as soon as I wake up, the next thing is the mind. While waking up, the order is first false ego and then the mind. And then you come to the body. All these things comes in this sequence. While going to sleep, the other way, reverse. First the body goes and then the mind goes. And my identity goes. Is it not? It's the reverse way, the other, when you go to sleep, and the other way when you wake up. When you wake up first, the ego gets up first. I am up. I comes. And then comes the mind, and then comes followed by the body and senses, everything comes into action. While going to sleep, first the body goes, and then the mind goes, and then the I in me goes away. I goes away at that time. So I goes away. So you can see here, as soon as you wake up, you have to carry this baggage of false ego, the mind and the body. The burden comes, isn't it? The body is a burden. The body is a burden. Body is all right if it listens to you. When it not listen to you, it's not a very pleasant thing to have a body which doesn't listen to you, which drags you down all the time. So here, when you wake up, all the weight comes on you. Mind, intelligence, the body, it's a weight on you, on your shoulders, isn't it? It's a weight on your shoulder. Mind, intelligence, and the body, everything. And in the night, when you go to deep sleep, what do? You remove all the weight from you. Body, you leave it behind. Mind, you leave it behind. Ego, everything, you leave it behind. And you will completely freed from all the weights. You exist at that time. When you have downloaded everything from your shoulders. You have downloaded everything. So, that conscience at that time, the inherence or the intelligence in that time, compared to the state where, compared to that state, this state is a very sorrowful situation. Think like that, that in the deep sleep state when you go, when you have downloaded everything from your shoulders, the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, everything, and your existence at that time, compared to in the morning when you wake up, when you have pulled everything onto your head, on your shoulders. You got your mind, your intelligence, your body, everything. And it says that intelligence is, at that point, in the deep sleep state, mind won't say anything, because mind is not present there. Buddhi or other intelligence also won't tell you anything what has happened in that deep sleep state. Intelligence also can't say anything because he has also gone to rest with the others. Like the body and the mind, intelligence has also gone to rest. So, so just like in that example before, that when you woke up at 2 o'clock and when you thought about this, whether to go to sleep or to get up, when you were woken up at 2, who made that choice to go back to sleep? That was not your intelligence that came in. If you analyze it, you will see you didn't have time to think or anything. Automatically, some decision came from inside, go to sleep. It's not 4 o'clock yet. You didn't even spend any time to analyze anything at that time. You heard some sound and woken up in the night at 2 o'clock. And then you notice that the sound has nothing to do. Somebody else has made some truck or lorry or whatever, made some noise, and it's gone away. And immediately, you decided to go back to sleep. At that time, your mind or intelligence has not come into action yet. It is a direct call from the soul, come back to this state again. It's a direct call from the soul to come back to that state again. And that is indication that intelligence has no role either. Because you didn't have time to analyze. You are not even woken up completely. You are not even woken up completely. You have just got up because of the sound. And same way, you have gone back to sleep straight away. And you realize at that time, I don't want to stay awake. Because then if I am fully woken up, I may not get that sleep back. People think like that, is it not? That they will think that I will not get my sleep back. So I go back to sleep again straight away. So somebody inside who is feeling that happiness in that deep sleep state, is it not? That is neither intelligence nor your mind, neither the mind or the intelligence. Because that mechanism there which pulled you back into the deep sleep state, that is that mechanism which doesn't have any false ego in there. That is the important thing. Normally, when we go to sleep, it's false ego takes you to sleep. Is it not? When you go to sleep, it's a false ego that goes with you to the sleep. When you come to the deep sleep state, by then false ego has gone away. False ego has gone away. So, but when you are woken up in the middle of the night, and then when you decide to go back to that sleep again, false ego is not up yet. False ego is not up yet. False ego only gets up when you get up in the morning. After you have finished yourself the sleep And then I am comes, the mind comes, the body comes, and everything else. So that this mechanism inside, which pulled you back into sleep, there is no false ego at that state. There's no false ego at that state. So no matter all your sadhana, meditation, bhajans, or chanting, none of them can give you that experience, what you have experienced at that time. In that deep sleep state, when what you have, because that is a very transcendental state, what you are experiencing then. I'll tell you that in my concern later on. That experience what you have at that state, only for a very short moment, very short period of time, what you have experienced at that time, that you won't get it through sadhana. You won't get it through any kind of meditation or japam, dhyanam, whatever it is. It's not possible to get that. We have been chanting so many years. Still, we don't know where we are. Is it not? That's our present. We think that something is happening. Where is it happening? What's happening? Nobody knows. But every day, in deep sleep state from this experience, this is analysis of the sushupti. Sushupti is to be analyzed properly. What is happening in the sushupti? Sushupti, the main thing that's happening is there, is that this state where when you had woken up from the sleep, suddenly that at that point you're making the decision to go back to sleep. And at that point, without any influence of false ego, without anybody telling you anything, some mechanism from inside had pulled you back into deep sleep again. Krishna says, look at that point, he says. He says, take notice of that. And it is not to find fault with anyone. You can ask anyone, somebody who is doing a very good sadhana every day, is doing good sadhana or good meditation or good deity worship. You tell him, don't sleep for 10 days. You tell him, just don't sleep for 10 days. After two or three days, he will say, it's not possible. He'll say, it's not possible. And doesn't matter whoever tells me, doesn't matter whichever Swami tells me, don't sleep, this Swami inside will say, come to sleep. That Swami will win inside. There's one Swami inside. That Swami will tell you, don't listen to any other Swami, listen to me. He will say, this Swami from inside will tell you. Suppose somebody is very good at sadhana, and some Swami has told you, don't sleep for 10 days. Well, after 3 or 4 days, the Swami from inside will tell you, ignore all other Swamis. What I say to you now, you listen to me, and you will have to listen to him. You have no choice there. Is it not? So that original Swami is inside. Original Swami is inside. He is the Swami. He is the actual controller of everything. So, other Swami, what we have created in our imaginations, we will pull them all outside. We'll push them out and you will listen to this Swami. You will start listening to the Swami. That's why Mandukya Upanishad says like this, Yatra Supto Na Kanchana Kamam Kamayate Na Kanchana Swapnam Pashyadi Tataha Sushuptam. Sushuptam state, Mandukya Upanishad is saying this. Mandukyam is saying, Yatra Supto, in that deep sleep state, Na Kanchana Kamam Kamayate. You don't want even gold. Tons and tons of gold given to you, you don't want it. That's how much it is valued, that Sushupti state. Kanchana Kamam Kamayate. Tons and tons of gold is given to you, you don't want it. Na Kanchana Sapnam Pashyati. Even in so many great dreams given to you, you don't want it. Tatha Sushuptam. That is Sushupti state. Sushuptasthanam Eki Bhutaha. Only in the Sushupti states you feel that oneness inside. Oneness means you don't feel this difference in identity, separation. Now what's happening to us? For us, everything is separate. We are all separated by so many things, is it not? Male, female, one separation. Nationality, another separation. Profession, another separation. Language, another separation. In one species alone, we have so many separations in so many different ways. What to talk about 8.4 million species? How much separation is there? Think about that. So separation in this way will never bring that. What Krishna says is that ವಿದ್ಯಾ ವಿನಯ ಸಂಪನ್ನ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣೆ ಗವಿಹಸ್ತಿನಿ ಪಂಡಿತ ಸಮದರ್ಶಿನ. ಹೌ ವಿಲ್ ಸಮದರ್ಶಿತ್ವ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಸೆಪರೇಷನ್? ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್. ಸಮದರ್ಶಿತ್ವ ಇಕ್ವಾನಿಮಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೆಪರೇಷನ್, ಇಸ್ನ್ ಇಟ್? ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಂಡುಕಮಿನಿಷರ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸುಷುಪ್ತ ಸ್ಥಾನಂ ಏಕೀಭೂತ. ಓನ್ಲಿ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸುಷುಪ್ತಿ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಯು ಫೀಲ್ ದಟ್ ಈಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ, ಒನ್ನೆಸ್, ಈಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್. ಏಕೀಭೂತ, ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ನೆಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಘನ, ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನ, ಯು ಆರ್ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಘನ, ಪ್ರಜ್ಞ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞೆ ಇಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್. ಆನಂದ್ ಏವ ಆನಂದಮಯೋ, ಆನಂದಂ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಬ್ರಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸೇ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್. ಆನಂದಮು ಚೇತೋ ಮುಖ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞ ಸ್ಮೃತೀಯ ಪಾದ ತೃತೀಯ ಪಾದ. ಇಸ್ ಐಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆನಂದಮಯಂ, ಆನಂದಮಯಂ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್. ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್, ದೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ನೋ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸಸ್, ದಿ ಆಲ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಔಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್, ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್? ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವೇಕೆಂಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸಸ್, ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸಸ್, ಆಲ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಔಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಿಲ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಆನಂದಂ, ಬ್ಲಿಸ್. ಆನಂದ ಬುಕ್ ಚೇಧೋ ಮುಖ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞ ತೃತೀಯ ಪಾದ. ದ ತೃತೀಯ ಪಾದಂ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞಂ, ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞ ಈಸ್ ಅಡ್ರೆಸ್ಡ್ ಅಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞಂ. ಯು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಿಸ್, ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞಂ. ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸೋಲ್, ವಿಶ್ವಂ, ತೈಜಸ್ಸನ್, ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞನ್. ಇನ್ ದ ವೇಕನ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಸೋಲ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ವಿಶ್ವನ್, ಇನ್ ದಿ ಡ್ರೀಮ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ತೈಜಸ್ಸಂ, ಇನ್ ದ ಡೀಪ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞಂ. ಸೋ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞ, ಪ್ರಾಜ್ಞಂ. That is a state where your prajna is in a very higher state, higher experience of the prajna, higher experience of the prajna. So there Upanishad says esha sarveshwara, that state is sarveshwara, he is sarveshwara, esha sarveshwara, esha sarvajna, he is sarveshwara and he is sarvajna in that state, he is sarveshwara and he is sarvajna, esha sarveshwara ಯಶ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೌ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸುಶುಪ್ತಿ. ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಸಿ ವಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ವಾಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್, ದಟ್ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡೀಪ್ ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇ ಹೌ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಟ್ ಇಟ್. ನೌ ಇಫ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಲೆಪ್ ಡೀಪ್ಲಿ, ವಿ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡನ್ ಅ ರಾಂಗ್ ಥಿಂಗ್, ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ನಾಟ್? ವಿ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಓ ಈಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಲೇಜಿ ಸಾಡ್, ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಅವರ್ಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ, or we look at him in that way. But that is from a mundane level. When you see the deep sleep, that is how it is. Upanishads are saying to us esha sarveshwarah, at that time esha sarveshwarah, esha esha sarveshwarah, esha sarvajnah, he knows everything what is happening at that time. Sarvajnah esha andaryami esha yoni sarvasya prabhavapyayo hi bhutanam. That is the glory of the deep sleep state. Upanishads glorify this state unlike us. In the mundane level, we criticize this deep sleep. Upanishads glorifies the deep sleep. So, I saying this, that sleep where there is no knowledge in ignorance, and showing that to us, Upanishads is saying to us, there we don't want to say, I want to leave this. And nothing we are saying, somebody asked this question, do I have to leave everything to attain the to realize the self? This question was asked. Do I have to leave everything to realize the self? The answer was, the inner self has already renounced everything. The inner self has already renounced everything. Because in our vacant state, what we are experiencing there, that understanding does not exist in the deep sleep state. In the, for example, why people do have to take sannyasam in this world? Because in order to move away from the mundane life, is it not? Grahastha ashramam is attachment, and therefore to free themselves from the attachment, people move on to the sannyasa ashram, so that they have the freedom to completely focus on the realization of the self, for that reason, is it not? But every night Krishna is showing to us that you are leaving everything on a natural way and going away from this. There is no wife in the deep sleep. There is no husband in the deep sleep. There is no children in the deep sleep. There is no identity at all, no designations in the deep sleep state. Is it not? So therefore, mentions like this, that inner self has already renounced everything. If your inner self has already renounced everything, then where is the sannyasam then? Every night everybody is taking sannyasam in a different way. Only thing, you're not changing your clothes. You're not changing, you are taking a danda. You're not doing anything, but you're taking sannyasam in the night. Is it not? That is the deep sleep state bringing to us. So, antaryami, atma. And because atma or the soul does not stick to anything. It cannot stick to anything. We think that it is sticking to the body. It is sticking to the body. Actually, most of our conception is wrong. When you look into it seriously, you will see Upanishad says to us in a different way. What does it say to us? It says to us that normally what do we say? The soul is in the body, we say. Is it not? Soul is in the body. Actually, body is in the soul. Body is in the soul. That perfection, because of the presence of the soul, all these experience of the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything happens in the experience of the soul. Soul is the behind everything in which we are experiencing the body, we are experiencing the mind, experiencing the intelligence, ego, everything. Everything is happening with the background of the soul. But in other words, soul is the background, body is something that is happening within the limitations of the soul. So here, this point, that asangoyam. Asangoyam means soul has no connection with anything. Soul has no connection with anything. Therefore, asangoyam. Asangoyam, no sangam. No sangam anywhere. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Sachidananda rupoham, ahamevaham avyayam. You will see in the Upanishads this statement. Asangoyam, keep on repeating this. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. Asangam, sangam, he has no sangam towards anything. But what is happening is, in our ajnanam or avidya, we are identifying with the body. That has nothing to do with the soul. It's not the function of the soul. It is the avidya inside us, which is in the form of the mind, makes us to identify with the body. So, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says like this, every night you have this experience. What an easy experience that is. Is it not? This deep sleep state, how easily it is given to us, and how easily you are able to leave your body, leave your mind, and leave your ego, leave your intelligence, and go to that state. In the vacant state, if you want to take sannyasam, it's a lot of effort. Is it not? In the vacant state, if you want to take sannyasam, it's a lot of effort. Sometimes you are not ready. Sometimes you are ready. You're half a mind this way, that way. Then you are thinking whether I should take now or later. All sorts of things. People discuss this as far as sannyasam is concerned. Makes a long time to think about it and come to a definite conclusion, isn't it? Krishna is putting us into that state every night without our knowledge. You have given up your attachment to the body, you have given up your attachment to the mind, you have given up your attachment to the intelligence, ego, everything, and you are gone. Asangoyam. 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 Asangoyam, 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 puna puna. At that time, what is that? Sachidananda rupoham. Our nature is Sachidanandam at that time. It is Satta Chitta and Anandam. That is the nature at that time. And you can see this, how quickly in that deep sleep state, you are no more a prime minister and a beggar. No difference in that state. Isn't it? Upanishad says, Raja Araja Bhavati. A king becomes not a king anymore in that deep sleep state. A thief is not a thief in that deep sleep state. And similarly, every other designation leaves us A minister, prime minister is not a prime minister, president is not a president, brahmana is not a brahmana, shudra is not a shudra, kshatriya is not a kshatriya, woman is not a woman anymore, man is not a woman, man is not a man anymore. Everything goes in that deep sleep state. Then what is left then after that, when you leave all these things, all you are able to say is that, I don't know. That's the answer, isn't it? All of us have the same answer. I don't know anything what is happening. So, so then the question comes, who is saying this, I don't know? That is where you have to get it. If when you wake up from that deep sleep state in the morning, when somebody is asking you, you didn't know anything, you say. You didn't know who you were in that deep sleep state. Then if you ask the question, who is saying I don't know? If you ask that question, that answer is important, because this our intelligence, which functions only in the vacant state, this intelligence has no entry into the deep sleep state. You see? It has no entry into the deep sleep state. So that is a reason when you wake up in the morning, when you ask the person, what did you do in the deep sleep? He says, I don't know. Why? Because the intelligence had no entry into deep sleep. That is the reason behind it. So similarly, the mind which operates only in the vacant state, mind which operates in the vacant state, also says, I didn't know anything, because he wasn't there, first of all, in that deep sleep state. A certain dull state, that's what you had at that. Mind will tell you, it was a sort of dullness. I didn't know anything what was going on. Intelligence says, I didn't know anything what happened. Normally, materialistic people, materialists in other words, we talk about people like that. We say some people are materialistic, very materialistic. What does it mean? It means those who are having a lot of dreams in them, isn't it? Lot of dreams. That means they have big, big plans. They are dreaming about it, what they should do in this life. You can see when children go to sleep, small children, babies, when they go to sleep and they wake up, you look at them, they look very beautiful, don't they? Very small children, 1, 2 years old, 3 years, because they don't have this planning business in their head. They're not planning anything. For them, every day comes and goes. So that's why when they go to sleep and they wake up, they look very beautiful. They look very beautiful. When we all go to sleep and we wake up in the morning, at least we don't want to show ourselves to anybody for some time. This is a reality. Everybody knows this, isn't it? Nobody wants to see us when we wake up in the morning. If somebody comes to you, knock you at your door at 4 o'clock or 5 in the morning, you will say, oh, why has he come at this time? Did you not ring me before? Why didn't you ring me before you came? Why? Because we don't want to see anybody at that time. Ourselves, we know that we have... So when you wake up in the morning, those who are like that, in that freshness in there, they are called a yogi. You can say he is a yogi, because those who sleep without any jnanam inside, that avidya inside, nidra samadhi sthiti, that's nidra, that sleep is samadhi sthiti for them, samadhi state. So nidra samadhi sthiti, and difference is when the small children or babies, when they wake up, the vision what you experience at that time is more divine even than when you see the deity when they open in the temple room. Because there is life here in this. You are seeing that in such a way, if you carefully observe that freshness in the face. Why? Because deep sleep state, that individual hangaram is not there completely. It's a pure experience of Krishna's presence inside. What that living being has experienced, that's what you are seeing at that moment. So when they open up their eyes and comes out, it's like a sun rising in the morning. Sun rises in the morning. So this vastu, what we are inquiring after, that is inside all of us. And even this deep sleep state is not an ordinary activity like any other activity in this world. But on the other hand, just because you have slept very well doesn't mean that you will have knowledge of the self. That's also there. Unless you analyze that properly and take that knowledge on the board. So, knowledge of the self does not know the self. This is another thing. Knowledge of the self does not know the self. In the deep sleep state, what happens is that the body, the mind, intelligence, everything, it separates from us. It separates us and goes away. So, the knowledge of the self is for the body, the mind, and for the intelligence. Knowledge of the self. Soul doesn't need any knowledge. Soul doesn't require shastram. Soul doesn't require any of these things. So, whatever shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything is spoken, is only for the sake of the body, the mind, and the intelligence. So, this deep sleep state is that state which is the result. Already what we are experiencing there is the result. So, once you go, it's like a river flowing at that time. That deep sleep state is a river flowing. If you immerse in that state and when you come out, and you should take what you experience there, bring it to the vacant state, and you should perform introspection at that stage. What you have experienced in the deep sleep state, if you bring it back into the vacant state, and if you analyze it, churn it nicely in the vacant state, and bring that experience into the vacant state, that is the state of realization, self-realization. That is why to start from the deep sleep state. They say that you have to start from the deep sleep state. People who do a lot of Alpavijaram, they are very experts at it because they have gone so deeply into this subject. Upanishads are there to help us in this matter, to help us in this understanding of the deep sleep state. They talked so much about it. Mandukyam, Bhradaranyam, Chandokyam, all of them talks about that in depth. So here, you can see here that in that deep sleep state, naturally, we had that experience, is it not? In the deep sleep state, the natural way, we had the experience of the realization of the self that has come to us in a natural way. And it did not depend on our effort. This is another side of it. I'm comparing with the deep sleep state with the vacant state. As I mentioned before, in vacant state, whatever you are finding it difficult to give up, in the deep sleep state, without any problem, you gave it up. Is it not? In the vacant state, what you are finding it very hard to give it up. In the night, when the deep sleep came, you had no difficulty in giving up anything in the deep sleep state. Isn't it? Similarly, Krishna is mentioning here also that this thing, state what you experienced in that deep sleep, that has happened without any effort. Whereas in the vacant state, you have to put effort to get that state. Is it not? You have to use your effort. That's why all sadhana and so many other things what we have to do for that. So, so you can see here also, anything you acquire in this world with effort, one day it will go. Spiritual life is like that. That with effort you can't get it. It's not based on your effort. If you talk in the language of bhakti, we'll say, I'm not going to get it. If Krishna gives it, I'll get it. That's the way bhakti will talk. In Jnana Margam, they say, effort, it is not possible. Effort, it is not possible. But realizing this truth, it can happen. It can happen. So, suppose somebody has performed a lot of meditations or anushtanam or austerities and all that. You will see this. Some people who have done a lot of sadhana, a lot of anushtanam, dhyanam, tapasya, deity worship, everything in their life. When they get older, if you look at them, they have a fear inside. What's the fear? I'm getting older. I won't be able to do everything what I was doing till now. Will all what I have done will go? You see, he doesn't know what he was looking for. who is doing all these things with some understanding, but when getting closer to death, body start giving serious problems, a mind is giving problems also. So then you start thinking, I may not be able to do all of what I am doing. For example, suppose you are now getting up at say 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock and you are going for all the programs or whatever programs you have at home, taking bathing and then Mangalarati, chanting the Japam, Guru Puja or Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, whatever you are studying, so many things on a routine level, you are doing it. But once you get older, it's not going to stay like that. It's definite, is it not? You won't be able to do this whole series, whole lifetime. That's not going to happen. Little by little, body will take control of you. And will tell you also that now you have to start cutting down. So you start cutting one after the other. Whatever you can't do, there's no choice left there. So that thing, situation is saying here, that fear will there. But realized personality, those who have realized the truth, they won't have that fear. This fear is only in the sadhana stage. But suppose you have realized what Krishna is, that is why this Rajavidya Rajagukhyam Yogam, this chapter, is important. Krishna says, if you realize it here, this Rajavidya here, then this fear will go. Otherwise, this fear will continue. Everybody has fear in this world, is it not? Everybody is in fear, living in fear. People are anxiety about so many things. What will happen at the old age? One fear. What will happen to this body? What will happen to family? What will happen to children? What will happen to this? What will happen to that? So many anxieties inside. That is, in a subtle level, operating within everybody. That you can't go it away, throw it away. But if you think that, suppose I become a devotee, all this fear will go away. It won't. It will stay there. Fear will still be there. Krishna is saying here that if you realize this here now in this body, before that stage comes, then you can escape from this. Because then at that point in time, Krishna says here that realized person only alone will be free from this fear. Will be free from this fear. Because he did not reach that stage by doing something. By doing something. They found out this. Who? The sages. Sages found out that in the deep sleep state, that perfection that they have achieved, they didn't get it by doing something. This is another realization. See how many things comes out from this deep sleep state if you analyze it. They found out it's not by doing something that they reach that state. In a similar way, they are also telling us, Yanis are saying to us, that by doing something, you won't reach that state. You won't reach that state. That is not possible. That's not possible. Because nature is teaching us this lesson. In the deep sleep state, what did I do to reach that state of perfection? Nothing. I didn't do anything. It was given to me. Is it not? So similarly, Krishna is also here. He says there, they found out that, they also found out, the rishis, the sages have found out that what already there inside you, that's what matters. Not that what's going to come from outside. Nothing is going to come from outside. We all are living in this conception that one day something is going to happen and everything is going to change overnight and we get liberated or something. Something in their head is working in that way. But that is, this chapter is revealing to us, saying to us, that's why Krishna uses the word pravakshyami. The word pravakshyami, I'll reveal it to you and you will experience it. That's how Krishna puts it. Krishna is not saying you do all this sadhana for so many years and then it will come to you. No, pravakshyami, he says. Isn't it? Idandar idam idande guhyadamam pravakshyami anasuyave. He says that pravakshyami word brings all this into it. Pravakshyami. Pravakshyami means Krishna says, I'll give it to you and you can have it. Just like Krishna gives us deep sleep state, we can have it. In the same way, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, in your vacant state, I'll give it to you and you can have it. So that what we got in that deep sleep state, that experience, what we had, if that experience, if we get it in the vacant state, then you got it. And it didn't come from outside, it was given to us. So In the same way, that experience what you had in that deep sleep state, if it comes to the vacant state, in the same way, if it comes to the vacant state, that awareness, that state is addressed in this chapter. That state, what you are going to experience, what you are experiencing in your daily life, every night in the deep sleep state. First of all, you have to analyze this deep sleep state. Compare that with the vacant state from all sides. And then you will notice the beauty of that deep sleep state compared to the vacant state. Like we mentioned few things before. Is it not? First thing, things what you found it difficult to give it up. In the vacant state, you had no difficulty in giving up in the deep sleep state. Secondly, you can see here, in the vacant state, everything you have to put effort into it. But in the deep sleep state, without any effort, it was given to you. It was given to you. And similarly, we've also seen before that that in that deep sleep state, experiences, Raja, Araja Bhavati, that you were, whoever you are able to throw away all your designations. You are able to see that equal vision, what Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita, that state has come in the deep sleep. Isn't it? Pandita Samadarshina, Samadarshitvam, equal vision happened in the deep sleep. Because that's what's called a leveler, isn't it? Everything is leveled, everybody put into the same level. Everybody. That's why that experience of that deep sleep, Krishna is saying, if that experience of that equal vision in the deep sleep, that experience of able to renounce everything in the deep sleep, and that experience of coming back to this, that not by effort I'm going to get it. This realization, if you can bring all of that into the vacant state, Krishna says, you will have the same realized experience what is in the deep sleep, also in the vacant state. Think through it. It is important matter. Very important business. It's not something to be looked at in a look down, thinking that what is there in the deep sleep. No. Deep sleeps, Upanishads or Rishis are giving so much attention to it. And they are pointing out to us, if you have the intelligence, think about this. They are saying to us. Mandukyam is saying here, you can see that yatra kanchana kamam kamayate, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate. How come in the vacant state I had so many desires to become this, to become that, one after the other. Throughout life I am trying to become something. That's gone away in the deep sleep state. In a few seconds I was able to throw it away. I didn't want to become anything anymore. That state has come. Is it not? These are all the beauty of the deep sleep state. That's why when you analyze this deep sleep, Sushupti state, Krishna is saying to us, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate, all kinds of desires and all kinds of raga dvesham, what you are experiencing here, whole of second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, if you study, what is Krishna talking about? Raga dvesha vimoktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran, isn't it? Vishayam indriyaischaran, indriya senses are running after the sense objects. We are finding it difficult to withdraw. And what else? Raga dvesham creates at that time. Also solved. Problem is solved. Ragadvesha problem is solved. Vishayan Indriyaischaran problem is solved. What else? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan. The mind which creates all kinds of desires inside us. Krishna says, throw them away. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha mano gadan. They are all coming from the mind. That problem is also solved. So looking at Sushupti, you can see all the problems what you have in your vacant state and the dream state, they all goes away in that deep sleep state. You should look at deep sleep state in a favorable way, not in an unfavorable way. If you look at deep sleep state, otherwise you start thinking, oh, it's a complete waste of time, this deep sleep, without knowing the beauty of that deep sleep. When Upanishads are glorifying like this, how can we say deep sleep state is such a lower state? It's a much higher state. It is from there, all the principles of self-realization has come from that deep sleep state. All the principles. Sannyasam has come from that. And even this principle, even in the vacant state, all these experiences of the deep sleep, if you can transport it back into the vacant state, You are in the state of realization. Krishna is saying that. Yatra kanchana kamam, yatra supto na kanchana kamam kamayate, na kanchana swapnam pasyadi tadaha sushuptam. That is sushupti state. Sushuptasya egi budaha pratyanakhanam eva anandamayoha anandamuk cheto mukaha pratyam tritiya padaha. Then finally Krishna's Upanishad says, Esha Sarveshwaraha. At that state, you are Sarveshwaraha. That controller state is very much inside you at that point. Esha Sarvajnaha, and you know everything at that state. Esha Andaryami Esha Yonihi. Sarvasya Prabhavapayohi Bhutanam. All living entities are yearning for this realization, but they don't know what they are looking for. We in ignorance are looking something else somewhere else, thinking that something else will going to solve the problem. So that is what Krishna is saying here. So this fear, in the Sushupti state, everything goes and we are our own in our pure existence, isn't it? Similarly, when that same state is brought into the vacant state, that realization, Krishna says, is liberation. Is liberation here. So at that point, what is interesting here is, in that Sushupti state, there is no more pursuing for knowledge. Also comes to an end. In the vacant state, you need Shastram. Shastram, Guru, and so many other things you need in the vacant state. In Sushupti state, even that has come to an end. So, when do we know this in the vacant state? In the vacant state, this will only happen when, through the Bhakti Margam, if it's spoken, when there is total surrender, Sharanagati. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Sharanagati is the key for this. If you want the same knowledge in the deep sleep state to come to the vacant state, the point Krishna is making, he's going to say this in the 9th chapter. When we go into further, you'll see this, that Arjuna, there's only two ways. One, completely surrender to Krishna. Really surrender to Krishna. And then Sharanagati is there, total surrender there. Then this will happen. This realization can happen. Then other second alternative is Atmavijaram. Atmavijaram, Atma Sakshalkaram, Bhakti. Krishna talks about Bhakti. So, what is the symptom of all these things? He says here. So, when one surrenders, what will happen is, his mind, intelligence, everything is not functioning anymore, independently, isn't it? So, our ego also, disappears in that deep sleep state. Deep sleep state, what all happens? Mind goes away. Intelligence goes away. And including the ego goes away. Ego goes away. So, that you can see. First thing, what happens when you go to sleep? The mind closes it down. Mind shuts it down, isn't it? After that, mind shuts down. What next shuts down? Ego. Ego shuts down. I am. That goes away. I don't exist anymore. So when you wake up in the morning, what's happened? I wake up first. And after that, I get up. And then that false ego, starts its operations in this world, isn't it? False ego is the one who wakes up in the morning and he starts his business in this world. When this false ego disappears in the vacant state, like the way it has disappeared in the deep sleep, that situation is called self-realization. So practically you can see, spiritual life is nothing but wiping out this false ego from inside, ahankaram inside. Jnanamargam, they hold on to this ahankaram and touch the avabodham, ahambodham, jnanamargam. Bhakti Margam, you surrender to Krishna to such level, Sharanagati, that Ahankaram cannot stand anymore. He disappears. Either way, the process is targeting the same thing, Ahankaram. Whether through the process of knowledge ഓർ ത്രൂ ദ പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് ഭക്തി ദ ടാർഗറ്റ് ഈസ് അഹങ്കാരം. അഹങ്കാരം സംടൈംസ് ഇസ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു എസ് മൈൻഡ്, സംടൈംസ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു എസ് അഹങ്കാരം. ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ ഡിപ്പെൻഡിങ് ഓൺ ദ സിറ്റുവേഷൻ വെയർ ഇറ്റ് സ്പോക്കൺ. ബട്ട് ഇൻ ആത്മവിചാരം ത്രൂ വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ് ഈസ് ത്രൂ അനാലിസിസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് ആൻഡ് കോൺസ്റ്റന്റ്ലി അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡിങ് ഹോൾഡിംഗ് ഓൺ, വെൻ എവർ അഹങ്കാരം കംസ് ഇൻ സൈഡ്, ഹോൾഡിംഗ് ഓൺ ടു ദ അഹങ്കാരം ഹു ഇസ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസിങ് ദിസ് ആൻഡ് റീച്ചിങ് ദാറ്റ് അവബോധം ഇൻ സൈഡ്, അഹംബോധം ഇൻ സൈഡ്. In that way, ahankaram disappears. That when you become a very deep-rooted analysis or deep-rooted inquiry begins inside, then eventually ahankaram will not develop anymore. It cannot come up anymore. It's always in the state of ahambodham, then pure consciousness. That is the jnana margam. Bhakti margam is completely surrendering to Krishna and not expecting anything. Whatever Krishna does, that's it. Satisfied with it. Never complains about anything. What happens? Whichever situation Krishna has put us in, able to accept that without any complaint. And whatever distress he comes to us, gives to us, not to look back to Krishna and saying, complaining to him about it. So whether it is through Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, there is no other alternative. Either way, it will take us to the same thing. Goal is finally that this ahankaram inside has to be completely disappear from within. And that is what Krishna is mentioning here. Because if you start inquiring about this false ego, he is not a truth. He is not a real thing. But this false ego inside, the magic what it is doing is all this illusion, what it is creating in this world. Isn't it? The world, what you are experiencing now, is all the illusion what you see here is nothing but the magic what this false ego is doing from inside. Inside us, we have this mind, intelligence, false ego, and it is the same thing that is experienced in the sankalpam and vikalpam. Sankalpam, vikalpam, which is the activity of the mind. So, just like you mentioned about that previous thing, that when you looked at the photo and you saw at the back side that all the forms have disappeared, similarly, when you look carefully, you will see that all these activities, what's happening in this world, is done by this thing called mind, the cheshta, cheshta of the mind. So if you look behind that, you will see ahankaram is behind it, behind all these things. So now here itself, in that deep sleep state, whatever you have experienced, if that one, that perfection, if you know that it is there in the vacant state as well, and if you realize it in the vacant state as well, and the recognition of that, that is what Krishna calls it as pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. You will see that word in Muchukunda Stuti and a few other prayers. This word used, pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means this, that ahankaram is doing all these things behind. Ahankaram from the behind is forcing the mind to function in different ways in this world, to do different things. And from your experience in the deep sleep, what happened there? When all of these things disappeared, mind, intelligence and ego, everything disappeared, and you experienced a perfection there in that deep sleep state, isn't it? That perfection, when you start seeing inside in the vacant state, Krishna says that is called pratyabhijna. The word pratyabhijna is the word used in the Bhagavatam. Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means this. That pratyak means inside abhijna, that realization. But in the vacant state that is happening. Or surupa, pratyabhijna, bodham, all these words they use. So, when you experience that, you will feel a great wonder that has happened within. When we experience that state, how did I get here? You'll start thinking that. Because was it here all the time? That is how self-realization happens. That something that you are experiencing and you start seeing that it was already there inside you. Only then you realize that the soul is perfect. The soul has everything in it. But at the moment, no matter anybody tells us anything, we won't accept it. But through experience when it comes to us, we'll see that without this body, without this mind, without this intelligence, without this ego, perfection was already there inside me. this realization will come to us. And Krishna says, that is the greatest wonder. Krishna says, that's the greatest wonder. And that time, mokshase ashubhad, that word in the first word, first chapter. Idam tude guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam. That verse is a very, very deep-rooted verse. It is yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. There is a lot packaged into that verse, what Krishna is saying there. Yajnatva mokshase ashubhad, he says. That means the way to reach that state easily is by studying these two states. Jnana margam is nothing but comparing sushupti with vacant state. Deep sleep and the vacant state. From deep sleep, you learn all the lessons. Compare that with the vacant state. And you see the difference. And you will come to understand that deep sleep was a perfect representation of the liberated state. Whereas, vacant state is a perfect representation of the conditioned state. If that state, experience of that state in the deep sleep, if you are able to transport that into vacant state, Krishna says, yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. Ashubham means all that is happening in the vacant state. Is ashubham it is. Why? You are identifying with the body. You are experiencing all the distress of this world. You are identifying with the mind, intelligence, ego. This is all inauspicious things. We are not. We are none of this. The soul has nothing to do with any of these things. But it so happened that we are busy with it, unable to free ourselves from that. So Krishna is saying here, that is why this knowledge is confidential, Krishna is saying. Idam tume guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. Krishna says like that. So similarly, these problems of this body, problems of this mind, all of them is like a cinema going on here with this, within us, isn't it? In reality, there is only the screen. Everything else is the movie. Is it not? The screen is there. The movie is going on. We take the movie seriously. We don't take the screen seriously. Once you touch the screen, you realize that it was a movie going on through this thing called body, the mind. Everything is nothing but a movie. So, so behind all these things, that bodham, awareness, it is in that bodham all these things are happening. I am that experience, and that experience is, Krishna says, nityam, shuddham, buddham, mukta, surupam. It is eternal, it is pure, it's always liberated, and is fully conscious. Awareness, in other words, fully conscious. So therefore, the problem here is, this perfection, what Krishna is talking about here, you cannot accept that with your mind and intelligence. You see, with mind and intelligence, you can't accept this. You have to accept this only in your realization. You see, that is the problem. If you may accept it with your mind and intelligence, but it won't have any effect. It's of no use at all. It has to be accepted by the inside. That Swami there, inside. If he accepts that, then the problem is solved. Therefore, it is guhyatamam. Because in our daily life, everything is mind and intelligence, isn't it? Everything, what we do. The morning we wake up, right up to the point we go to sleep, it's only these two things working, mind and intelligence. Mind in conjunction with the senses deals with the world. And then intelligence is behind operating all. We don't go beyond than that anything. We finish there. This is our two assistants, mind and intelligence. They tell us what to do whole day. And we keep doing that every day. Krishna is saying, with that mind and intelligence, if you accept this knowledge, it won't work. Whatever we have spoken about Sushupti, if we have worked to some effect in you, if it had any impact in you, you can take that it is not from the mind or intelligence. It is the truth. So therefore you can't deny it. When truth is spoken, He will receive it from inside. He will accept it. But again, what happens is when you walk out, he will go, mind and intelligence will come back. That is why we have to keep repeating. Same thing we are talking for years and years, the same story, repeating it again and again. But still, inside he hasn't accepted it. That is the problem. That's why mind and intelligence has accepted it, but it hasn't helped very much. So that's the problem. So, that whenever this is spoken, this particular this particular principle of the spiritual life is spoken. Right now, right here, you have to experience that as the truth in your anubhavam. Anubhavam, it has to come. Not through mind and intelligence. So, if we start experiencing like that, that will take us into the next step of going further from that, and the release will happen. Release will happen one day. Because you have started experiencing that, not through mind and intelligence, but when you hear this truth, what Krishna has spoken, idam tu me gukhyatamam pravakshyami. Krishna is saying, if this chapter, when you hear, do not hear with your mind and intelligence, rather make it as on an experience level. If you are accepting it, for that Krishna is saying anasuyave. You should be free from all preconceived ideas, prejudices, everything shouldn't be there. Completely keep your open everything without bringing any of your ideas into it. Simply accepting what Krishna is saying, comparing your deep sleep state with the awakened state and see the differences without bringing your mind and intelligence into it. Simply accepting that as it is, Krishna has spoken there. Krishna says it will have its impact in you, and if you constantly chew that within yourself, in due course of time, it has to work. That is the point. Amazing problem and amazing solution to the problem. That is this chapter is all about. And Krishna says, then you will have a very quick release. Moksha se ashubhad, Krishna says. Yajnatva moksha se ashubhad. All your inauspiciousness is due to avidya. Ajnanam it is behind it. Ajnanam is the main problem. Avidya is the main problem. Krishna says avidya will go. So, and Krishna says, Samavedam, out of the four Vedas. Why Samavedam is popular? Different Vedam has a different purpose behind it. Four Vedas have four different purposes. For example, Yajurvedam is meant for sacrifices. Those who have to perform sacrifices, they have to learn Yajurvedam very well. Samavedam is musical. Musical it is. And those who chant Samavedam, if you listen to them, it's very musical. The Vedam, the way they recite that Vedam is very recited. Musical that is. Rigvedam creates humility in a person. Rigvedam. That is the impact of Rigvedam. That's why when Ramachandra, when Hanuman came to see Ramachandra and Sita Lakshmana there, Ramachandra says to Lakshmana, this person has studied all the three Vedams, he says. Because from his language, he says, I can see that he has studied Yajurvedam. The sweetness says to me he has studied Samavedam. And his humility shows to me that he has studied Rigvedam. About Hanuman, Ramachandra is saying this to Lakshmana. He says like this. So you can see there, every Vedam has its own impact on a person, one who has studied. So this Samavedam is very famous. Many hymns in the Samavedam are the same hymns from the Rigvedam. But only thing is, it is sung like a song, a beautiful song. Also, it all ends up in a very mellow, very beautiful mellow. It comes out like that. So, similarly, Krishna is saying, when this realization happens of the self here in this body at this moment, immediately the reaction from inside will be like hearing the Samavedam. When you hear Samavedam, at the end, you will see the beauty is such that you will feel a big relief inside. Such a beautiful it was. You feel a complete happiness inside. And so they ends up like, ha, 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 ha. Samavedam ends like that. Always then they sing like that. Ha. And that beauty they are experiencing themselves. Krishna is saying, when this knowledge of the self, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam, when that is experienced in self, the experience is such, it is very much similar to this hearing the Samavedam. Hearing the Samavedam. So, afterwards, Krishna says, nothing will disturb you in this world after realizing this chapter. So, and he says here that you cannot even say what all has gone and what has come afterwards. And it is like an eternal holiday after realization. This chapter, Krishna is saying, is like an eternal holiday. And that is the proper retirement as far as Krishna is concerned. This is the not leaving the job and going back to pension. That's what we call it as retirement now, isn't it? But Krishna is saying, this self-realization through this Rajavidya, and what happens after that, what will happen to us at that time, Krishna says that is the final retirement from everything. Now we are not retired from everything. We retire from the job, but the job comes back and pulls it back again to the work again, isn't it? So that's where it is. So we'll wait for 10 minutes or so and then continue again. Idam tu me guhyatamam. Idam tu de guhyatamam. Pravakshyami anasuyave. Jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshase ashubhad. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, this knowledge which is going to be discussed in this chapter, after realizing that, jnanam vijnana sahitam, Krishna didn't say only jnanam, only with vijnanam of that jnanam, vijnana sahitam, if you get it, not jnanam alone, vijnana sahidam, Krishna says, with vijnanam, if you get it, yajnatva means if you have got that, then mokshase ashubhad, from all other inauspiciousness will leave you once for all. It cannot remain anymore inside. So, coming back to this, what we talked about that this retirement, we mentioned that office retirement is one retirement, when the 65 or whatever, it will be 70 maybe later, but but this retirement has to happen here inside, not from the outside. Outside retirement has no meaning. So in other words, Krishna is saying here that yajnatva mokshase ashubhad, that is proper retirement. That after knowing which, realizing this, you are retired. Then you are retired once you realize this. You are retired. Then there is nothing else to do after that. After that, like Krishna told Uddhava, only one thing, Uddhava, you have to do. What did he say? Tondu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandushu maya vesya manas samyak samadrik vijaraswagam, walk through this world, he said. There's nothing to be done here. We think there's a lot of things to be done here, isn't it? That is our illusion is making us think that there is so much to be done. Krishna saying, Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sojana bandushu mai aveshyamana samyak samadrak vijaraswagam. Walk through this world, Uddhava, there is nothing to be done here. Ekadasha skandam, you will see that. Uddhavopadesham, if you condense in one verse, that is that verse. It is an expansion of that, the rest of the Bhagavatam. Whole of 11th canto is nothing but an expansion. Now that you have heard Bhagavatam so much, Ekadasha Skandam, go back and start reading those chapters what we discussed, particularly from 7th onwards. 7th, you should read like this. One part, the Nimi-Navayogi Samvadam on its own, it has its own beauty. Which one? The discussion between Nimi and Navayogis. The way Navayogis have spoken about Bhagavata Dharmam, symptoms of a devotee, and who is a devotee, what is Maya, how to cross over the Maya, and non-devotee's situation, and is there a time for execution of spiritual life. All these things are discussed, isn't it? 9 questions which Navayogis have asked. And how 9, which Nimi has asked and the 9 yogis have replied that. Those chapters, what we discussed in Ekadasham, if you go back and listen to it now, now that you have heard so much Bhagavatam, you will enjoy that. Whenever you have a little distress in your mind, in the heart, go back to Bhagavatam, start reading those chapter verses and their translations. You will feel a great joy and you will see that distress what you are experiencing in this world is nothing compared to what those verses are talking about. Is what the verses are talking about. Similarly, from the 7th chapter onwards in the 11th canto, Ekadasham, up to this 20th now what we have completed, particularly 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14. Up to the 7 to 14 is also a very good presentation Krishna has given there of the beauty of spiritual life in various sides. The process, the realizations and Krishna in Hamsa Gita there. Hamsa Gita as well as the Dattatreya Gita. 24 spiritual masters everything. So when you open up that 7th chapter in the Bhagavadam, Krishna begins his final instructions to Uddhava there, isn't it? And there, while because it is the beginning, Krishna spoke a lot of things, about 8 or 10 verses, one after the other, showing the absolute nature of the soul, completely untouched by anything in this material world, that knowledge. And that is really rejuvenating to anyone who reads that again and again. There are many verses. What is Atma? What is, how should we move in this world? So many things Krishna has spoken there. Just a minute. Yeah. He says there that the this part, first one. Yeah, it says here the Tum tu sarvam parityajya sneham swajana bandushu mayavesya manas samyak samadrek vijarasvaham yadidam manasau vaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashwaram grihyamanam cha viddhi maya manomayam. Each one of them is like a bomb. Krishna is just throwing bombs one after the other at Uddhava. He says yadidam, up to this time Krishna has not spoken like that in the Bhagavadam. But as soon as in this chapter, the final talk, this verses to Uddhava, when Krishna started speaking, it's more powerful than in the Bhagavad Gita, what you find there. Yadidam manaso vajam chakshubhyam shravanadhibi nashwaram grihyamanam cha viddhi maya manomayam pumso yuktasya nana artham brahma saguna oshabha karma akarma vigarmedi guna dosha dhya bidaha. All in the state, in that realized state, all these verses, fully realized state, Krishna is saying to him that pumso ayuktasya nanartham brahma saguna doshabha karmam agarma vigarmedi guna dosha dhiya vidaha tasmad yuktendriya gramam yukta chittam idam jagad atman yuchasa vidadam atmanam mayadhishvare. If you remember those classes, we discussed this. Krishna mentions there, Atman Yuchaso Atma Vidadam Atmanam Mayadhishvare, says to Uddhava, Uddhava, only Atma is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. Atman Yuchaso, always be fixed in Atma. Atman Yuchaso Vidadam Atmanam Mayadhishvare. Atma is in control of everything. We talked about that in that classes. You can go back and listen to that. And then he says, Jnana Vijnana Samyuktam Atma Bhuda Sharirinam Atmanu Bhavadushtalma Andarayer Vihanyase. Then Dosha Buddhir Prayadido Nishidharta Nivartade Gunavuddhayana Vihidam Nakarodi Yathar Bhaga Sarva Buddha Sukhru Shando Jnana Vijnana Nishaya Pashyan Madalmagam Vishwam Navibadhyadavai Punaha. So these verses in the 7th chapter, and then Krishna Uddhava continued his he is praying to Krishna that reveal that truth to me. When Krishna put this bomb, it's exactly like a bomb it is. Uddhava, from somewhere, he got a shock when he heard all these verses from Krishna. Krishna haven't spoken like this even to Arjuna. That's how he spoke to Uddhava. So when these verses came out from Krishna, Uddhava got the shock of his life. That's why in the next verses you will see Yogesha, Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Alma, Yoga Sambhava. He doesn't know how to glorify Krishna. Seeing this revelation to him. Everything when Krishna reveals, it has its own joy and beauty. So that is why all the next verses you will see Uddhava's lamentation. I did not ask you this question before. I should have asked you before rather than at this late stage in life. I should have, that you can reflect that in those verses where Uddhava is mentioning this to Krishna. Yogesha, Yoga Vinyasa, Yoga Alma, Yoga Sama. Uddhava keep on putting this to him. All yoga system is coming from you. You are the person who controlling everybody's yoga. You are the person who has created all the yoga system. And everything ultimately ends up in you. All yoga processes. Like this, Uddhava's beautiful prayers there. And acknowledging that beauty of what Krishna has spoken before. All these verses, if you keep reading them, that will keep you spiritual. Not bring you down to the platform of the mind. Otherwise, there is no way you can escape from the mind. Mind will take control of everything. Mechanical process and all will only work up to a level. But the knowledge of the soul, the way Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that will keep you out of the bodily identity. And then similarly, Sword of 7th chapter, then 8th, 9th and 10th is the 24 spiritual masters. Each one of them, what they have got to say to us. And how Dattatreya Maharshi, giving us a perfect example, where he is tapping the knowledge from every source, even from a little child. Is it not? 24 spiritual masters. Prithivi, Vayu, Akasham, Apam, Agni, Chandraman, Ravi, Kapotam, Ajagara, Sindhu, Patangam, Ratagadvaja, Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kumaram, Arbhaga, Kumari, Sharaval, Sarpam, Urnanabhi, Subheshakal. 24 personalities he pensions there. And he says to Uddhava, he says to Yadu, I have learned from all of them. He says, that is spiritual life. Learning like this is the spiritual life. Not ignore anything. There is some, Krishna has kept this world as a school for realizing the self. This world is in a school for realizing the self. And that is what in the whole 7th chapter, 8th, 9th goes there. And then it comes to 10th chapter, you can see Krishna says the proper process. What is the process of self-realization? That is the 10th chapter. Then in the 11th chapter, when Uddhava raised some issues, Krishna mentioned about the process of yoga systems. And in the 12th chapter, Krishna says to Uddhava, the easiest process is satsangam. And he brings like that too. And he also quoted so many examples there in the 12th chapter. To repeating again, saying to us that Uddhava, all these personalities have escaped through satsangam. Take advantage of that. And Krishna is the best satsangam. Who else can be a best satsangam than Krishna? And in other words, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this knowledge, whatever Krishna has spoken in that Ekadasham, it's not there anywhere else in this world. And that is that 12th chapter. Then the 13th chapter, when Uddhava raised some doubts, Krishna says the same questions came up previously in a discussion between the four Kumaras and Brahma. And that discussion, quoting that, Krishna brought up another load of interesting topics there in that Deham. Deham nashyaram astidam ustidam va. That's a beautiful verses, 4-5 very powerful verses, long heavy verses there. And all of them, if you keep reading them again and again, it will rejuvenate that spiritual understanding. What is spirituality after all at the end? So these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this realization, coming back to our Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying here that retirement, what is retirement? Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that this retirement has to happen. Retirement from what? Retirement from this body, retirement from the mind. This is proper retirement. Not retirement from the job. Retirement from the body, retirement from the mind, retirement from the intelligence, and retirement from the ego. That is retirement. Krishna's retirement. So that is why, and once you see that, you're proper retired. Otherwise, you're not retired. Only thing is, instead of going to office, you'll go somewhere else to do something else. That's not retirement. So, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? You have to see karmam, akarmam in karmam. Mentions there before. Let the body do the karmam. Whatever karmam body has to do, let it do that. But after doing all that, you still have to remain in perfection. That is the point Krishna is making to Uddhava. Uddhava, you have to remain in perfection stage. Let the body do what it has to do. And any provocations or any impetus to do karmam, if it comes from within, after self-realization. Suppose after self-realization, if you still have a impetus to do karmam, if any karmam comes through you at that stage, it will be for the benefit of the world. That is the interesting thing. Whatever karmam we are doing before self-realization, there will always be a tinge of selfishness in there and the results. It is not always necessarily to be for the benefit of the world. But after self-realization, if Krishna makes some karmam to happen through that body, that whatever karmam comes through that body will be for the benefit of the world. Will be for the benefit of the world. All the liberated souls have acted like that. That is why Krishna is saying, first realize the self. After that, whatever you do will be good for the world. Before that, if we do, sometimes many things can go in the opposite way also. Opposite way also. So that purnatvam, perfection, is purnatvam or perfection. That person who shows that perfection in us. In the Shastram, they use the word as Deshika. Deshika means this, Guru in other words. His address is Deshika. Deshika means, is that one who points out to that truth in us. In other words, in a process of Shastram, through the process of Shastram, one who points out to you that the truth what you are looking for is within you. One who points out that to you, just like with the hand you point out to something, with the mirror in front of you, showing it to you, that person is called Deshikan, or Samadhi, that state, what the yogis are addressed as. So, yogis tries to bring this mind towards one point, it's an Ekagrata they call it, concentration to one point. Bringing the concentration to one point, that is that Samadhi, the yoga state, what they talk about. Jnanis, they do not want to talk about this mind. They want to ignore the mind, completely reject the mind. What the jnanis do is, without touching the mind, without caring for the mind, very slowly, always talk about the truth to the person. Talk about the truth towards the person, and eventually showing to the person about the truth which is standing behind the mind, intelligence and ego. That truth standing behind, which is awareness, bodham, avabodham. That is the jnana margam. And in the yoga margam, they try to control the mind and bring it in focused on one thing. Ekagrata they call it. Isn't it? So, by doing this way, through the jnana margam, they say that effortless, if you do that with a effortless, one day that perfection of the shanti will come inside in an effortless. And that's why through the process of jnanam, they call it as jnana samadhi. Samadhi that has come through process of the realizing through the process of knowledge. Jnana samadhi. So, you will see this word in Bhagavad Gita throughout, the word yogam. Isn't it? Yogam is yunjet. Dadu, from there yogam has come. So, many meanings are there. Yunj, that is the sound from which it has come. Here, Krishna is saying, Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam Yogam. Isn't it? In that verse, Rajavidya, most confidential knowledge is the English title. But actual title in the original Bhagavad Gita, it is Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam Yogam. That is how it is mentioned there. So, somebody asked this question that, is samadhi state necessary to realize this chapter? The samadhi state is necessary. So the answer was that there is no getting that state. That is our real nature. Samadhi state is our real nature. Does not, just because Krishna has said like this, doesn't mean that only after reaching samadhi you can experience this. No, it is a process that will happen when you keep on listening to this chapter. Krishna is saying, it will eventually lead into that state of samadhi. That state of samadhi. That is what he is mentioning here. So, because our real identity is samadhi, our real identity is not like jagrat, swapna, sushupti. That's why Krishna is saying samadhi is our real state. Our real state is not jagrat, swapna, sushupti. Jagrat, swapna, sushupti, if you remember in the Bhagavatam, what did Krishna say? Jagrat, swapna, sushupti, nivritto, gunavrittaya, sasam, vilakshano, jiva, sakshitvena, vinischida. There itself, in the first verse, in the 13th chapter, I think, Krishna says to him that Uddhava, this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, all these states are present in the intelligence. Tasam Vilakshano Jiva. Vilakshana. Jiva is Vilakshanam. In other words, Sakshitvena Vinishchida. He has no other business that when these three states are coming, he is going through that as a witness through that state. He has mentioned there. So you can see here. There is in the yoga system, Ashtanga Yoga, Patanjali's Ashtanga Yoga system, bringing the mind under control is one process. In the Jnana Margam, it is a different process. Therefore, they call it as through Yoga Samadhi and the Bodha Samadhi. The experience of Samadhi state through yoga process is called Yoga Samadhi. And the experience of the same Samadhi state through Jnana Margam is called Bodha Samadhi. Why? Here what's happening is, what Krishna does to Arjuna and Uddhava is, he is continuously making aware of Arjuna and Uddhava, who you are. Who you are. Once you have known that, then all the doubts have gone. Because we don't know who we are, all the problem what we have got. Isn't it? So this is called Bodhanam. Bodhanam means repeatedly telling a person that this is what you are. Not repeating by words, but through all this presentation of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, and also various things what Krishna has spoken in the Karma Yogam chapters, Jnana Yogam. In fact, somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see Krishna says that Nahi Jnanena Sadrisham Pavitram Ihalabhyate. Krishna says, you will see one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahi Uddhava, Arjuna, there is nothing that can purify a person more than this knowledge of the self. There's a verse there. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. It is in the 438. You see that verse? 438. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. Tat swayam yogasam siddham kalen almani vindadi. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. See that? Nahi jnanena sadrisham. There is nothing equal to that, he says. Pavitram iha vidyate. Tat swayam yoga samsiddha kalen almani vindhadi. So many places you will see. Next verse also. Shraddhavan labhade jnanam talpara samyadendriya jnanam labdhuaparam shandim achirena adigachati. A faithful man who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Isn't it? Then, therefore, yoga samsyasta karmanam jnana samchinna samshayam atmavendam na karmani nibadhnandi dhananjaya. Therefore, one who has renounced the fruits of his action, whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, and who is situated firmly in the self, is not by bound by works. So, like that, there are other places as well. Krishna is talking about the same thing. So, jnana samadhi means through constant hearing and through introspection, accepting, not through mind and intelligence, but through introspection, it gets accepted inside. That is jnana process, jnana samadhi, what Krishna is talking about here. So, or in other words, it's also called bodha samadhi. The other one is a yoga samadhi, through the Ashtanga yoga process. But the problem with yoga samadhi is, as long as your mind is able to focus on one thing, that ekagrata, or attention completely there, only up to that time it will last. If any movement happens inside the mind, you will get distracted. You lose that samadhi state. from the yoga process. Like yoga classes and yoga courses. That also is a process. It will work, but the difficulty with that is it will only there as long as you have that yoga state. In that yoga state, samadhi, ekagrata, they call it, that it will stay. But as soon as you come out of it, you will go back into the same old situation. Bodha samadhi, on the other hand, if bodham has come, because bodham is a part of the soul, isn't it? Awareness. If that awareness has become full of knowledge, then that is samadhi state. That is the difference between the jnana samadhi and the yoga samadhi. In bodha samadhi, you may have to hear a lot. Like Parikshit heard from Sugadeva Goswami. He heard and he reached that bodha samadhi state. That is why if you read the verses, you'll see in the Bhagavatam. What did he say? Siddho osmi, anigrihito osmi, he says. I got it, he says. I can't lose it anymore. Why? Because awareness is born from the soul. It comes from the soul. That's aham brahma, param brahma, brahmaham, paramam madam, evam samichan altmanam, altmanyadhaya nishkale. Krishna says Parikshit there, isn't it? To Krishna. To Shukha Brahmarshi. So, this bodha samadhi, what it does is, bodha samadhi is that it does not accept the mind. Mind itself is not a real thing. Like body, mind is also not a real thing, isn't it? We are taking this mind so seriously, but mind is also not a real thing. What it does is, knowing that mind is not a real thing, it transcends the mind and shows our pure identity as the soul. That's what it does. Bodha samadhi is that. In bodham, avabodham or jnana margam, it's like that you transcend and it goes beyond than that and come to that state. And even then there is vyavaharam to be done. This won't go because the bodham is there. Bodham state is there. So, whether you are performing any sadhana, any anushtanam, or any other kinds of spiritual activity, karmam also in this world, once this realization has come inside, that I am that purna vastu, inside, perfection, is inside there, in the self, then if it has established in that state, that is called jnana samadhi. Jnana samadhi is that state. That the awareness inside has come, who I am. That awareness has happened. After that, whether you are engaged in any anushtanam or sadhana or any kind of karmam or vyavaharam in this world, that jnana samadhi will not leave you. Will not leave you. So, because that jnana samadhi state is what Krishna is trying to show in this chapter. Therefore, he calls it as Raja Guhya Yoga. Raja Guhya Yoga. Because that jnana samadhi state is what Krishna is going to talk. Why is it Raja Guhya Yoga? Means royal secret. If you translate that into English, it is royal secret. You know, all royal families have secrets. Isn't it? All royal families have secrets all over the world. That's why they are royal families. You know why that is, don't you? That if you have studied history, you will know why they are like that. All royal families have got some things to cover up always. And they won't like, and if anybody comes to know and they know that they are going to let the secret out, it will go. They've all done that. That's a Kshatriya's way of life. They do that. Everywhere, all over the world, it is like that. So, because royal families, they don't like to reveal their secrets. They have a lot of secrets. We are seeing this again and again. They have a lot of secrets. Like you remember when we had this Padmanabhaswamy temple, this was open. Nobody knew about it. There were 12, 15 billion pounds worth of gold and things were there. Royal family knew this. Brothers didn't know anything about it. It was kept confidential like that. So same thing and everything. Royal family here, royal family elsewhere, it's the same thing. They all have their royal secret. Krishna is saying, this is more secret than that, this one. What Krishna is going to talk about in this chapter, Krishna is saying is much more secret than even than the royal secret. So, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. He says here, it's Raja Guhyam. So, royal families, they will always try not to allow the secrets of the family what's going on inside the family, they won't let it come out into the public as much as possible. And they will try to keep that for generation after generation. That secrets what they want to keep it within themselves. And because it is like that, the media is interested more in getting it out. Because they are like that. The media wants everything out as much as possible as well. So, so Bhagavad Gita also is like that. Bhagavad Gita is saying here, this topic what is discussed in this chapter is to be kept confidential. Is to be kept confidential. It will remain confidential. It will not be easily, should not be revealed. It should not be revealed easily. It does not mean that nobody should know about it. That's not what it means. Only thing is, if you come to know this, you will lose your head. In another way, you lose your head. That is what Krishna is. That's why it is a secret. What will happen is, if this realization comes from this chapter, you will give up your job, you will give up your family, you will give up all your connections with this world, and you will walk out from here like the way Uddhava walked out. So that is why you lose your head completely. In another way, in a subtle way, that's what Krishna is saying through this. That's why it's royal secret. Once you get this realization from Bhagavad Gita of this chapter, that's why Rajaguhyam he calls it as, if this happens to us, we won't be sitting here. You'll be gone. You'll be gone because you've got it. What you're looking for, you've got it. Then why should you sit here? Why should you stay at home? Why should you go to work after that? Nothing will be required. It's finished with that. Everything is over. That is why Krishna calls it as royal secret. In other words, whatever garbage is there in our brain, it will all go at that time with this. And and we have all kinds of false identity at the moment in us, isn't it? I am some important person, or I am this, I am that. All that identity you are going to lose. In one stretch, it goes away with the realization. So, in other words, you will become zero. You will become zero. Ahankaram has gone from inside. Ahankaram is keeping us going on in this world, is it not? Day after day, you're able to do many things. So, ahankaram will go and you'll become the whole. Ahankaram goes means zero. Zero is a whole number. You become that whole. But, only thing is, the problem is, when you come to that state, you won't be able to advertise in the paper. I have self-realized now. Some people used to advertise like that. Meet a bona fide spiritual master who is self-realized. It's a joke, greatest jokes you have seen in life. Sometimes you get that kind of advertisement, isn't it? If you look into some magazines, you'll find there that... so, sometimes you realize as an ass. That's what you have realized. Not self. You realize the ass. How good ass you are. That's what you have realized. The person who advertised it and the person who has been advertised. Both have realized they are good asses. That's what they have realized. So here, the realization is this. And after this realization, you won't be able to advertise because there is nothing to advertise. You have got your original state, what you are. That is why Krishna is mentioned here that that purnada, that perfection, realization, and then we are advertising that come, we have got to realize soul, perfect, come and take initiation and all kinds of things we do, isn't it? That's not possible. That's not possible. Because what is the nature of knowledge, realization? For him, there is no him and somebody else separately, isn't it? Because all that separation has gone away from him. In the world, he is seeing so many living entities. What he is seeing? Sarva bhuteshu yappashyet bhagavad bhavam almana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. It's only Krishna who is present in all living entities. Where is the question of that? This kind of guidance is not necessary anymore. And for him, he will not keep that duality anymore. All perfection has come within him. And everything what he sees, and or whatever he sees in this world, it's all perfect for him. Perfect for him. For him, no correction is required in the world. Why? Because he has become perfect inside. When we are not inside perfect, we have to correct the world. When we become perfect inside, correction has already done where it has to be corrected. Correction is necessary inside, not outside. Outside will go on its own way. Once inside it is corrected, it will change the whole way we see the world, the relationship with the world, and imperfections in the world also, what we are seeing now, will go away. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, for vyavaharam's sake, for transactions in this world, sometimes they may give instructions to others. But if you observe your activities in this world, they do not have any duality anymore in their dealings with this world. And they don't have anything to impose on anybody. They have nothing to give it to anything, nor do have to take anything from anybody. So, and it is impossible for them even to maintain this relationship as a spiritual master or a disciple in that way. Disciple may have a relationship with the spiritual master because he is in that state. He may have a thought, feeling towards the spiritual master in that way. But the spiritual master won't have that relationship with the disciple in that way. There were many, many great people in that state who lived in this world. So, for example, disciple may have devotion to the spiritual master. Disciple may have a desire to serve the spiritual master. But spiritual master will not be looking towards the disciple in that way. For him, that is also Krishna's presence in that. That is what spiritual master is seeing there also. So, one who has become perfect, for him to see imperfection in somebody is very, very difficult. Somebody is very difficult. Similarly, you can see that you know this, that with pure gold you can't manufacture jewelry, isn't it? With pure gold it's not possible. There is, you have to have a little bit of impurity in there. Similarly, even though he may have become perfect in his realizations, some ajnanam, avidya, will be there. If it is not there, he won't be able to do any vyavaharam in this world. Even if he has realized the self, so long as he has his body here, because body won't go till prarabdham is over, body will stay. So, what is the situation now? He has realized the self inside, who he is. The body has not left him. It is waiting for the body to drop. But so long as you have a body, vyavaharam is necessary. Otherwise, body cannot carry on. So, in order to do some vyavaharam transactions in this world, business in this world, in your realized state, you need some impurity there, ajnanam. Just like gold requires certain amount, it's not to manufacture jewelry, isn't it? To make jewelry, you need certain. It's not pure gold is not used for making the jewelry. So similarly, some ajnanam avidya is necessary in a person to conduct vyavaharam in this world. That is his state at that moment. Therefore, Krishna says here, this rajavidya has got one aspect like that. As soon as you realize that, then you don't exist anymore. You finished with that. And Yajnavalkya Maharshi says this to Gargi also in the Brihadaranyaka. We'll discuss that in the next, tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.